This is PFW in progress.
Census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Oh, wait. Was he a great big fat person?
Paul Perillo.
Why don't you ask me about Buffalo Bill?
You should come here. You can do this damn radio show.
Buffalo Bill, what a naughty boy he is. Do you know why he's called Buffalo Bill? Please tell me.
Very excited to be a Dallas Cowboy.
And Andy. And Andy?
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told. It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Andy Hart.
Now it places the lotion in the basket. It places the lotion in the basket.
What the f*** lotion in the basket?
Some guy named Tom.
Oh, he's a monster. Pure psychopath. So rare to capture one alive. From a research point of view, our most prized asset.
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Was she a large girl?
Yes.
Bakes for the hips? Romy, what else?
She had an object deliberately inserted into her throat.
PFW in progress.
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Bye.
Welcome back, Wednesday afternoon, Gillette Stadium. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's Jets week. Spygate is back. There'll be some snow. Bill Belichick won't talk about Spygate. Everything we knew would come about this time of year is starting to come about. Andy Hart here alongside Tom Casale, Paul Perillo. Paul deep-throating some pizza right now, as he generally does this time on a Wednesday afternoon. Tom Casale hawking up a lung because he's dying from some ailment over there. We all knew it was going to come sooner or later. I don't know what the specific ailment is, but it's going to do him in.
Thank God I got that flu shot.
As he said, he's had a nice run, so.
Time to go.
Yeah. We don't need you anymore. It's a long way till the draft. We'll find somebody else to talk about some meaningless guy from some meaningless school somewhere that'll then get drafted in the seventh round, and we'll never hear from him again. But it is, as I said, Jets week. And Bill Belichick had a little skip in his step today. Comes into the first press conference of the week here, officially kicking off the week, media day, with a smirk on his face, having just left a conference called the New York Media. And apparently they somehow got him in a good mood, or maybe it's watching film of the Jets.
I was going to say, maybe he was breaking down the Jets.
Oh, well, I can't wait.
All their games have been ridiculously close, according to Bill. And, I mean, this is a team that a couple breaks here or there.
When they play the Dolphins, the games were close. I like when he said, except for the Cowboy game.
Yes.
Well, that's the one good team they play.
Right. But he, you know, had a smirk on his face. We had a little fun with a couple questions that were asked. Somebody brought up, you know, hate and the rivalry and the going back to the 70s, and he sort of made fun of that, going back to the 40s and all that. Who wants to learn about that? And then Tom Curran, as he usually does, threw out a random crazy question asking Bill who his favorite former Cleveland Browns ball boy was. Of course, trying to lead him towards Eric Mangini, a name that I still don't think has been spoken this week here at Gillette Stadium by
Tom,
Bill Belichick.
How long does it take you to think these up?
And he kind of said that, I believe it was, did you think that up right now on the fly, or did you, and then he actually had an answer. He went with Stephen Belichick, his son, who he said was inexperienced, but he had a soft spot for him. So, you know, it was a pretty lighthearted press conference for the most part. There was clearly a New York reporter, I think it was, looking to get an update on the Newsday story from today that the Jets had an employee kicked out of Gillette Stadium or removed from filming the Patriots coaches last season. There's some confusion as to which game it was in, but apparently he was over by the lighthouse somewhere filming. There's some claims that he had the permission of the Patriots. There's a lot going on there, but as Bill Belichick said to anything that went down those lines, the past is in the past, preparing for the Jets in the Sunday one-game season, all that stuff, blah, 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 blah. Some weather, he's not going to talk about that as an excuse. Basically, it's the big matchup with the Jets. And they are what at this point, 3-10?
3-10 with two of the wins over Miami.
3-10. Wow, good thing Miami's in the division, or the Jets would be in trouble, huh?
Yeah.
But there wasn't a lot of game-related questions, like Kellen Clemens question. Bill talked about the changes and the quarterback and people playing defense. You know, for a press conference, nothing much came out of the press conference, basically.
No, because it was more him doing what he did 3 months ago before the San Diego game, just saying how many different ways he can say, I'm not going to be talking about any of that. Our focus is just on the New York Jets. Now, he did it today, I thought, in a much more lighthearted manner than he did back then, you know, which makes sense. It was still fresh then and still ongoing. Right now, it's as he said many times today, it's in the past. I mean, you can't change what's in the past.
Well, one thing that is not in the past, that is in the future, are these reports of snow. And, you know, I know everybody wants to see a blowout and, Tom, what'd you predict on the TV? 66 nothing.
That's before I knew it was going to snow.
Is that an accident, 66, or is that a sign of the devil?
I'm going to have to lower it to 63 nothing now.
If I was on the show, my explanation was going to be they were going to be up 63 nothing going in for 70, and Bill was going to call a timeout with 30 seconds left and have Wes Welker kick a field goal. Then when asked at his post-game press conference, he was going to say, what'd you want me to do, score a touchdown? So it was kind of like a joke.
I hear you. But seriously, if the early reports are, and I don't know if it's a prediction or just a possibility that weathermen are talking about, is, you know, they're talking in feet for snow, potentially Saturday night.
1 to 2 feet.
30-mile-an-hour type winds. Clearly, that's the type of weather that has an effect on a football game. You know, it could not only just the game, it might affect getting to the game, crowds, all
no
that crap.
There's no question who it helps. It helps the team with less talent.
No question.
I agree with that.
The team with less talent benefits from weather.
Because now you could see fumble. You know, you could see things that wouldn't happen in a dome.
You could see the Patriots have to hand the ball off, for God's sakes, try to run the ball.
And just the common sense would tell you that it's harder to be as precise doing everything you want to do in bad weather like that. We saw what it did to Pittsburgh in the two games that they had to play, especially the one against Miami where it was ridiculous conditions. That wasn't because Miami played better in the mud than Pittsburgh did. It limits what you can do, and it just levels the playing field. So I think Tom's right. I think the snow certainly benefits the underdog.
In the locker room, a lot of media members, a lot of players, a lot of group get-togethers. Asante Samuel spoke, Rodney Harrison multiple times, Ben Watson, Mike Vrabel, some of the usuals. Holiday spirit has made its way into the locker room. Small Christmas tree on the table. I know Fred always wants us to get out the details. It's about, I don't know, I'd say 18 inches tall, a little red bow on it. Some Pedialyte in some of the lockers. So, you know, while Tom Casale's sick.
Jeez, Fred would be in his glory.
Well, we're checking off all the little things
we saw
in there.
Details that you're coming into.
I got to get some of that stuff.
Yeah, it's expensive. It's going to cost. Get the lollipops, the popsicles. Because then it's like candy. You suck it down. You get it sucking it. What? I can't say things like that?
Just real quick, I saw that Bill's offensive coordinator, Steve Fairchild, is going to be named the new head coach at Colorado State. So that's more coaching changes within the division. You know, the Bills, it doesn't seem like, I don't think their head coach is in any trouble, but
that ought to really help. Young quarterback changes offense.
Yeah, you got that to look forward to now.
As we talked about, that continuity, really getting it in the AFC East, Cam Cameron. Probably going to be out,
it's
I would
think.
It's
amazing that people just come and they still want these coaches that are in the AFC East.
That's true. But webradiopatriots.com, webradiopatriots.com. If you want to send us an email, we already have a ton of them flowing in. 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. I know sometimes Fred reads it like 508-543-7482, but... You know, you are capable of sitting in this seat of actually talking into the mic and seeing the number on the wall if you do indeed need to look at it.
Well done, Andy.
But some of the topics on the table, obviously, Spygate. Everyone's going to be talking about it except Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Paul, you were in on Rodney. He sort of addressed the cheating and all that.
Well, they were asking him a lot of those same questions they asked Bill, and Rodney answered them the same way Bill did. You know, we're not really concerned about that. We're just concerned about the Jets and... in Rodney's specific case, he said that, you know, when it all went down, he was suspended. You know, the way he turned it, I was home on my couch, so I don't really even know what was said.
So I wasn't involved in that cheating per se.
Well,
it's different cheating I was involved in.
He was just saying how he wasn't really aware of all the comments and all the details of how everything went down because he wasn't here. And the questions were basically, you know, do you guys play with a chip on your shoulder? Because of that, and he said, well, not because of that, but yeah, I think you have to play with a chip on your shoulder in this league, otherwise you can't compete.
And they do.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the same chip for 2 weeks, sometimes it's a different chip 1 week.
As a matter of fact, he said, you know, someone will always say something or something like that. He alluded to, you know, of course, the Anthony Smith thing. And then he was asked a follow-up question, you know, after that whole thing about the chip on the shoulder and whether or not, and he said, I'm not really aware what people said. And then the follow-up was, well, that you were cheating or that you're cheaters, something like that. And he looked at the guy who said it and said, I don't even know your first name. So why would I take that seriously? I don't even know you. And then he threw in the, it's nothing personal. It's like saying, you're the biggest jerk I've ever seen.
Right.
No offense.
No offense. Thanks, but, Bill.
I don't understand what he's saying. Why would I care
what people that I don't know are saying about me?
Oh, okay.
Is basically his point.
Okay.
But the guy who asked the question definitely asked it with an edge.
Because the guy does everything with an edge because he's a cocky SOB.
And I was wondering if Rodney took it that this guy was saying you're a cheater. Because when you ask questions, it's not necessarily what you're saying. It's you're asking a question based on whatever kind of information you get. And people, I mean, the fact of the matter is people have called them cheaters.
Yep. Bella cheat.
So I think that's where the question was. But it was I thought Rodney had a good answer to him. It was the Channel 7 sports guy, Larry Ridley, I think his name is.
I've never seen him on TV. I've only seen him here.
Yeah, I only see him on weekends once in a while.
Oh, he's one of those guys. Low-level TV.
Anyway, Rodney didn't like the question, and he kind of put the guy in his place.
All right. Anything else you need to get to out of the locker room before we move on? I'm going to get right into emails because I assume we're going to get a lot of them and a lot of various topics on the table.
Before you get to that, I'm interested in you guys. Do you care at all about this sideshow this week?
Like, I mean, what sideshow?
The whole Cameragate thing. Against San Diego leading into that game, I thought it was noteworthy. It was interesting, to see how Bill was going to respond to the punishment and all that, to me, was relevant. 3 months later, after it's done, the NFL has handed down its punishment. It's over.
Well, the only thing I would care about is if you thought they were going to do something ridiculous, like score 70 points.
But they may do that. That's the only thing that makes the game somewhat compelling is to see how it unfolds.
Right.
But I'm talking about the amount of national people here this week that are asking questions about that specifically. There was even a question in the press conference about the handshake. I mean, is this really what
Bill
we've
apparently considering a cartwheel?
Is this really what we've come to?
I'll go back to what I said earlier before we got on the air. I think the NFL is so bad right now, there's just not a lot of good games to even focus on. So I think the networks are grasping at these kinds of stories. I think that's why the Patriots game against Miami
was
moved
say,
to
you
4
must,
o'clock.
You must be right because of that.
Because who cares about that? I mean, seriously, who could honestly, if you weren't a Patriot fan, how could you? Even
right.
Dolphins. I know a buddy of mine is a Dolphins fan. He won't even watch that game probably. So I don't understand. It's got to be. You look at the league every week, like some of the weeks we had off, and you're just sitting there watching those games, and you're like, God, this is awful.
Because there's bad teams. I mean,
so I think that there's
Browns, Bills. Do people want to watch those teams as they fight for the playoff spots and see?
I'd rather watch that than Patriots, Dolphins.
I don't know if people
two
would
teams
or would.
That are trying to be somebody that probably neither one of them is, but they're trying to get to the point where they're in playoff contention. I think that's
good
more
teams
compelling.
Out there. That's the problem.
Yeah, I think we all know what's going to happen to the
problem.
Dolphins. I don't really need to see
right
to watch that.
You must be right, Tom, because that's why they must be moving the Patriots game. You know, Patriots Buffalo, Patriots Miami.
Plus, it's worked. Every time the Patriots have been on, I get a release the next Monday that says it was the greatest something ever. Most watched this, highest rating this, highest share this. So if it didn't work one of these weeks, maybe they'd stop doing it. But it's worked every time they've done it. So they might as well keep going. There's not a ton of other options.
I don't remember the one after the Buffalo game.
I think we got one.
No, we didn't.
I thought we did.
That Buffalo game?
Yeah. I thought we got one. I was
no
pretty
one,
sure we
no
got
one watched
a release.
That game.
Yeah, I might be wrong, but I thought we did. And it certainly didn't do poorly.
I know we got one in the Baltimore game.
And the Eagles game.
Because that was a Monday night
right.
game. And
the
Eagles
game
on... Well, yeah.
Dallas
that was,
game.
I mean, the Dallas, those are legitimate matchups, though. I mean, like, I bet you there was a really good rating this week for the Pittsburgh game.
Well, there should be. Yeah. The good games are the good games. I mean...
Right.
There's like six good teams in football that you'd be worthy of putting on good games.
I just think they're sitting there going, we don't really have anything to put at four. Why don't we put the Patriots? Because they're going for perfection, and at least there's a storyline.
And you know what happened with the Baltimore game. Well, I shouldn't say you know what happened. My opinion is people weren't really interested. And then all of a sudden it's, 9:30, 10 o'clock, and you're like, what's the score of that game? And now you're in.
It's the Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson.
Right.
That fight still going on?
Right. Oh, what's going on now?
Yeah.
I thought that would be over by now. You know, that's why the Buffalo game, 56-10, it was never competitive. It's over.
All right, we ready for the emails?
Sure.
Oh, I was going to skip this one, but it's from Chris in the Bronx, and since he bought lunch yesterday, I can't skip it because he put Jets questions and Fred rules. And if Fred rules, you don't get read on this station. But you bought lunch, so, hey, guys, this game makes me nervous, although that's probably a holdover from attending last year's loss to New York at Gillette. I was watching the Jets game from September 9th on my DVR, and I noticed the Pats started out running the ball with success, which was strange to see, while Pennington started out in a no-huddle offense. I'm guessing the Pats go to a spread offense early because their line should handle the Jets' anemic pass rush, while the Jets will look to run the ball more, more or less the opposite of what we saw back in September. Your thoughts?
Well, the Jets have a terrible run defense. I mean, they've given up over 140 yards a game. You would think this would be a week they'd want to try the run a little bit, see if it works. Because if they don't do it this week, then that just means they're not going to do it. You know what I mean? They're playing a team you can run the football against. The weather's supposed to be bad, so you would think you would see more Lawrence Maroney on the field, but
who knows?
Who knows?
I'm done predicting when they're going to establish Lawrence Maroney. I mean, that was one of the only games this year where they really did. They tried to run the ball early in that game. Since then, have they done it a couple times? But I don't know. And Josh McDaniels has said they're going to throw.
Bad weather, a team that has trouble stopping the run. If you're not going to get 15 or so carries in that game, you might as well pack it in.
Yeah, I'm just going with, Josh McDaniels said, unless weather, and who knows? I mean, maybe we get a blizzard Saturday night, but it's, calm and pushed to the side by, the field's going to be covered and plowed off. By game time, it could be just a normal game. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know when the wind, fronts are going to hit.
Yeah, you never know how it plays out. But, Josh McDaniels is on record saying, unless the other team really loads up to take the pass away, or the weather really affects the game, heavy winds that's going to take the pass away, they're throwing first. So I think they're going to try and throw first until they can't throw first. And it's bottom line. How's the mood in the locker room this week? Businesslike, excited. With one more win, they've got home field advantage. Not bad at all. I would say it's excited. I saw players, as normal, screwing around, laughing. Stephen Neal stole something from the training room or the equipment room, had it under his shirt, but because it was about the size of a box of shoes, it was quite obvious that he had something under his shirt. Snuck in his locker and then walked back, and what did he say? Something mofo. And considering he's one of the whitest guys on that team, it was kind of funny to watch. But, yeah, it starts at the top. Bill's giddy this week. My guess is by the time Friday rolls around, we'll see the Dante Stallworth, Randy Moss screw-around show.
And let's say it again, Andy. Bill showed up for the press conference in his proper attire again, like last
week.
That's
true.
He had the gray hoodie.
He had his capris
on. Which is looking really, really ragged. I mean, beyond belief now. Might be the original one from 01. And those capris, the cutoff sweats. He's back in Belichick attire. That's a good sign.
Yeah,
don't you think?
I don't need to see him in corduroys.
No.
This corduroy stuff. Yeah. And, his hair was a mess again today. He was like sticking up in the back. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, he was back. What do you think about Sunday while we're on fashion? That big poofy
I wasn't a
blue
big fan
thing.
Of that. But, it's cold on the sideline. I don't know.
Yeah, but he's been cold before and he wears the gray hoodie with something under it. I thought that was a little weird. Is he caving into organizational pressure right before the holiday season and wearing something new to boost sales in the pro shop?
Those jackets are actually unavailable.
There's a shock. Ken Flanders. Bill wears something and the jackets are unavailable. Somebody sees it. Oh, Christmas. I'll get that for Dad. No, you won't. Unavailable. Lombardi
Flanders
trophy.
Flanders is the only useless person here.
Joe Reuter checking in. To answer some of the questions about the Lombardi trophy asked yesterday. Trophy is made each year by Tiffany Company. Yes, we talked about that. And they actually make two a year. We did not talk about that. The NFL has both on hand at the Super Bowl in case one is damaged during celebration. I'm not positive where the second trophy goes. I would imagine it goes back to Tiffany and Company. It's valued at $2,500. So when you think about how much NFL players get fined week in, week in and week out, it's dropping the bucket for Dre Bly to have a replica on his fireplace. No question. I agree with that. Fred. You on the show?
How come you're taking emails so quickly?
Because we get a lot of emails, and instead of complaining at the end of the show that we didn't get to them, I figured I'd start early and try to read them.
Yeah, but I know, but sometimes you have to start off by giving some information.
We gave information. We talked about the press conference.
Whatever.
Listeners,
people don't know.
Listeners, unlike you, know that there's a little Christmas tree in the locker room. They know that there's some Pedialyte in lockers. They know Bill is giddy. They know everything.
What was Bill giddy about?
Coming from the conference call to New York media. You know how those can be.
No.
No idea, Bill. No idea what they're like, but I assume this week
I've never really conducted a conference call with the New York media, so no, I don't know how those can go.
Certainly not after I worked in that city, then I cheated against that city, and they took money from me. I thought he'd be cranky coming in from that.
And he was asked, by the way, I don't know if you were aware of any of the stuff that went on?
No.
He was asked about the report in Newsday today about
the Patriots.
Well, I knew
about that report, yeah, which was on Fox first, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I only saw it in Newsday, but they said, he was like, what, that's all in the past, the...
Right.
We're not talking about anything in the past, blah, blah, blah. Preparation and all focus is directed to the New York Jets. That's, I mean, it was exactly the same way he handled it before the San Diego game way back when, only he did it in a much more lighthearted manner this time.
Right. So let me get this straight. Our fans know everything, but now we have to repeat it all for Fred.
For Fred.
Okay.
Well, what do you think about that report?
What report?
The one about the Jets guy getting kicked off the mezzanine last year.
I actually thought it was an old story, but evidently...
I had never heard it.
Oh, I thought you told me.
No?
That's why I thought it was old.
It's a possibility he did tell you, because he forgets.
Maybe, but... I mean, I had known that in the past, but I didn't know specifically it was last year, and, you know...
Well, we don't even know specifically when it was. Yeah, there's confusion as to which game it was.
Right, right.
And there's also... They thought they had permission to do it and may have, who knows. Right. Maybe they did have permission at the time, but now... Nobody wants to admit they had permission.
Just so you know, Fred, it's cheating no matter which way you slice it.
What the Jets did, absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Right.
What the Jets did, no question. Let me finish up Joe's email. He says, Andy, I don't know why you are so emotional about this, but damn the Irish. All that grows in Ireland is dirt, potatoes, grass, and drunks. I'm glad I'm not alone. I refer to Guinness beer as dirt and potato milkshake. Damn drunken Irish.
Now, come on.
That's Joe and Indy. You know. Happening place. What grows in Indy? No offense, Joe, but what grows down there?
Larry Bird. He grew up there.
And much like that ESPN commercial that they show, home of Larry Bird. Oh, there goes home of Larry
Bird.
Here's
something I want to bring up.
Oh, boy.
Patriots, I've got a lot of emails from fans, I don't know if they're fans of the Patriots or whatever, but criticizing the Patriots for not wearing Sean Taylor's number for the second game, last game. I noticed that the... Steelers did have it, and most teams did. There were a few that didn't. The Chargers didn't. There were a handful of teams that didn't wear it. According to Greg Aiello, it was a team thing. They could opt in or opt out. A lot of fans criticized the Patriots for not wearing a number. Okay. Now, let me ask you, I don't know if I should be offended at this or not, but last night I'm watching ESPN, the year in review. Did any of you guys watch that?
I saw a little of it, but not enough.
Okay, they had.
And we've gotten emails on what you're going to say.
The one section where they have the people who died, no Buck O'Kilroy, no Marquise Hill.
You should be offended.
I don't know. Should I?
I am. I mean, if you're going to make a list and pretend to include everybody in the sports world who passed away in the last year, it should include everybody in the sports world who passed away in the last year.
So I'm thinking, okay, what's the criteria here? And I mean, Marquise Hill's been in the league as long as Sean Taylor, right? Didn't they come in the same year?
Is this Taylor's fourth year? Would have been Hill's fourth year?
Fourth year.
Something like
that. I mean,
that should be irrelevant. If you're an active NFL player who's made a couple rosters.
It shouldn't have anything to do with the caliber of player.
Exactly.
I think it's ridiculous. I think that the Patriots probably didn't do it. That probably had something to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that that's right, that you would say, well, we're not going to honor the other guy because you didn't honor our guy. But I can understand it. I'm not,
certainly Buck O'Kilroy. I mean, even if Marquise Hill somehow got
Buck
missed.
Buck O'Kilroy's an NFL legend.
Right. I mean, there's an NFL film special on just Buck O'Kilroy. He's a major figure in the history of the league.
And he's not just Patriots. You know,
the league. NFL legend.
No.
Right.
Yeah, that's
he's
what I said.
He was an Eagle more than a Patriot, right? You know? So I just didn't understand what that all was all about.
Sounds like somebody just screwed up and didn't go through the list properly.
I have no problems with the Patriots decided to
do. I did email Stacey James, the director of media relations, this morning to get his take on it. I have not heard back.
Keep holding your breath on that one.
Let me know in mid-February when you hear back.
Now, come on.
Hi. There's Ken Flanders, who ran out of jackets that Belichick wears on the field. Hey, fellas. This says Pat's backup in 2008.
I don't think he ran out of jackets. I just think he doesn't have them.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't get it.
Got something out there because every day there's boxes piled up to the roof of.
Well, they're probably in there, and Ken hasn't unpacked them yet. He's waiting for post-holiday rush. He's too busy right now to get stuff on the shelves.
Andy, it is Christmas time.
It's
called the NCAA tournament.
Hey, fellas. This is from Pat Stevens. Hey, fellas. I'm wondering if you could foresee any interest by the Patriots in two AFC East quarterbacks who have been supplanted as starters on their team,
Chad Pennington
or J.P. Lossman. I don't know what their contracts are now, but I'll assume that they would get cut by the Jets and the Bills, respectively. If I'm either player's agent, here's how I would sell these guys. Pennington, veteran game manager, won't lose the game for you. Isn't that an ideal backup? Parentheses, he writes, ignore his inability to throw beyond 20 yards. Lossman, great athlete, could be coached into something good, a good guy to take a flyer on. Ignore his brutal decision-making. and that's Patton, Ontario.
I don't know about Lossman, but if Pennington was willing, I'd love him to be the backup here.
There's no way. There's no way.
I don't think he'll be willing, but I think Bill would take him in a
heartbeat. Why wouldn't he just stay in New York if he was willing to do that?
Have you seen the quarterback play in this league?
Right.
I mean, Pennington will definitely be
he's going to be a starter next year. And by the way, he cost his team several games this year.
He did.
For the whole, like, he won't lose a game for you. That's why he lost his job.
I think
he lost about five games
for
the Jets.
Well, he's pushing on that team. He's pressing. It's tough. You feel like it's all on your shoulders.
I agree with that a little bit. There's a different scenario than trying to make them into a winner than coming in for 2 weeks for Tom Brady and just trying not to lose.
He'd be a fine backup.
He just won't.
I think he'd be an excellent backup.
He's also going to be a fine starter in one of the eight teams that comes knocking on his door.
I think Bill probably thinks Lossman's comical. I think he thinks he's a piece of garbage.
He should.
To be honest with you.
I think Lossman is everything Bill doesn't want in a quarterback.
Yes. And I heard
I agree with him.
Mike Greenberg talking about this a little bit the last couple of days. Think about this for a second. How many teams would you say definitively are set at quarterback for the next 3 years?
Oh, Paul.
You're not going to get to 10.
Probably not.
Patriots, Colts, Cowboys, Steelers.
Bengals.
Probably the Bengals.
Bengals.
I mean, I'd throw
the Seahawks.
Chargers.
I'd throw in the
Seahawks,
Saints. I think they're happy
Chargers,
with Breeze.
And Saints.
And Saints. I don't know if the Chargers are in that category.
Well, yeah, Rivers is, you know.
I'm a huge Rivers fan, but he had a bad, bad year.
Yeah.
If he has another bad year next year, I'm not sure. Then
I mean, the Browns maybe because they've got two guys.
Well, I was going to say you got to argue one of those two has to be their quarterback
right,
for 3 years.
What about the Giants? Yes or no?
I don't know about that.
They were on the edge of this conversation.
3 years is a long time.
It was really interesting. I was listening to Mike Greenberg talking about it. It was really interesting because basically, even if you put every guy, you know, Mark Schlereth was on with him, and he put Jay Cutler in there. He said that he's light years. Schlereth said he's light years ahead of Vince Young, and who's the other young guy? Who am I forgetting?
Matt Leinart.
He's light years ahead of those two guys right now. But even if, like Greenberg said, okay, I'm not going to argue with you on these guys. Anybody you say that you want me to put in there, I'm going to put in. And they were still struggling to get past 10. That was one of the guys that he said. He goes, I'll give you that. We're not, you know, no matter how many of those guys that may or may not, you know, Rivers, Schaub, Eli Manning, you could put them all in and you're still only going to get to like 12.
Right.
So that illustrates Tom's point. Chad Pennington will start somewhere next year.
So it's way less than half the league.
And there's one elite quarterback in the draft, right? Matt Ryan?
I don't know. Yeah. Matt Brom. Ryan, Brian Brom.
He could be another Leinart.
Andre Woodson. I don't think any of those guys. You know,
well, according to Mel Kiper, there's one elite quarterback in the draft, Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan.
And I think he'll be one of the first three or four players taken, probably.
He has him as – Kiper has four locks in his top four, and Ryan is one of them in terms of seniors. He said, obviously, that could change. But
just a quick word.
I think
Matt Ryan's the only hope for the Patriots to move out of the position that they're in because if –
Well, McFadden's flashy. McFadden will draw
interest. I don't think people will help out the Patriots by – doing, you know, playing ball with them.
By making
them
pick the second pick in the draft?
You can't fear the Patriots. If you think Darren McFadden will help you win games for the next 10 years and is a great player, then you go get him.
Right. You can't
fear and say, ooh, Bill Belichick, he'll screw me somehow, so even though I like him, I can't do it.
You don't sit there and say, that's a great trade, but I can't do it because the Patriots are involved.
You can't fear. That's a terrible way to do business. Get out of the league if you're afraid of everybody else. Make decisions you think are right.
I think the Patriots will want to move out of that position, but I think they'll be hard-pressed to find.
I agree with that.
They're not going to get value for the pick.
Because no one moves up.
Right.
They will
not because
value.
Of the Patriots.
I think part of it is.
I mean, Oakland was trying to trade that pick for 2 months last year. They couldn't get anybody to take it.
Well, I suppose this
was that because they were afraid to deal with Al Davis?
This is supposed to be a better draft than last year.
But, one of the things I was going to say is word out of USC is a lot of those juniors are going to return and try to win a national title last year, and one of those guys is Maualuga, the linebacker. So, obviously, this happens every year where people say this, then they end up coming out.
Right.
But apparently, a lot of those guys have decided together to go back.
Who's the other guy that was supposed to have a good year and did
Cushing?
Yeah.
All those guys... They got some guys in the second. All the defensive guys, they say, have decided to go back. So if that's the case, Maualuga won't be
I don't
be
like
in the
their draft. Quarterback.
What ends up happening? Who?
John David Booty.
Well, he won't be there.
He's gone?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
He's gone?
But who do they have waiting in the wings?
Are you going to know?
Probably four guys who could win the Heisman next year. I mean, I don't know them, but.
What happens with that, I agree with Tom on this as well. I think when you come to January and then you start getting into that pre-combine period, and all of a sudden, you know, the NFL rates where the guys would be taken, and these guys find out they're going to be a first-round pick, see ya.
Yeah.
There you go. It's crazy. Especially in football, where it's so easy to have a career-threatening injury.
If the Patriots pick today at number 2 and the Dolphins take Dorsey at 1, do you take McFadden? Do you take Howie Long's son at defensive end, or do you take Jake Long, the offensive tackle?
Chris Long that good?
He's good.
He's a top.
But
you're
willing to pay him that much?
I'm asking you, who would you take, Fred?
None of them. I'm out.
If you can't trade.
Are you just going to give the pick away?
I guess I'd take McFadden.
We had some people suggesting that they just keep passing on the pick until it gets to a financial area where they want to be willing to pay.
I don't think I'd allowed to do that, are you?
I don't like that. No, the NFL won't let him do that.
Who would you take?
Having not watched anything.
Just off the, I mean, well, what position? Basically, I'm going by position.
I'll go with
here.
The tackle.
You'd go with Jake.
Yeah. Lee. See, people seem to love him. I'd love to see he's supposed to be one of those road grader. You can run behind him. Maybe that would make Maroney good.
Right. That's what I was wondering.
Maybe then I have Maroney and a road grader, and I say, Maroney, see that guy run up his back every freaking play.
What do you think, Paul?
I don't know. I hate taking it. You know how I feel about the offensive line. I can't do it.
Especially since he's a right tackle.
I can't do it.
According to Kuiper.
I guess if I'm just in a vacuum, Chris Long, because I think that he does all the things in the system. They know that he can play the 3-4, and they know he was coached by Al Groh. I don't think they need that.
He comes in making more than Warren and Wilcork.
No, I know. I don't think they need that pick.
You're stuck at 2, you got to take somebody.
No, I know.
Right. I mean, someone's going to be making more money than
now. Another question: how much are you willing to take below "quote unquote" value so you don't have to pay the money? You know the little chart where it's got to take a this and a that.
Oh,
are you willing to just take? You know, it's 600 points less or whatever
Dallas
it is.
Dallas can't get up there, I don't think, because I saw a mock draft and Dallas they got picking 31 because they had them going to the Super Bowl and Cleveland's going to playoffs. So that was.
But would you take that if you want to get out of 2? You don't want to pick and pay $50 million.
Yes, I would.
You just take 2 ones at the end of the round.
24 and 31.
Yep.
Sure. Why not,
Fred?
They probably could get something else thrown in there, like a third or fourth round pick or
but
whatever.
But let's just assume worst case scenario, you're getting nothing.
I would.
You're getting 10 cents on the dollar. Do you do it, Fred?
No.
So you're picking number 2. Now you need to take somebody. Take them. Who are you taking?
You don't want two late first rounders, and you don't want the number 2 pick. So what do you want? Somebody to give you 13 and 16?
The only person that can give you two late first rounders is the Cowboys, right?
Right. So in other words, you don't want to deal with Jerry Jones.
Are you allowed to pass on a pick?
I don't.
What
do you mean by pass?
What if the Patriots said, look, we are passing on the number 2 pick. We are taking the money slotted for that, and we are adding it to what we're giving Asante Samuel to keep him here. Would you think Patriots fans would like that?
No.
I don't think you could do that. Now, Minnesota, a few years ago, used up all their allotted time.
Right.
And they ended up Jacksonville went ahead of them, took Byron Leftwich, and then Minnesota ended up taking Kevin Williams. I don't think you could just completely pass on a pick and say, no, I'm taking my ball and going home. I'm not going to.
Can you keep passing until you're down to 12?
We had an email about
then the
that.
The guy's going to want number 2 money,
right?
Like Kevin Williams wanted number 7 money.
He ain't getting it.
You can't just screw around. There's a system in place, some rules.
It's the Patriots. We can screw around.
Maybe the Patriots just take the other first round pick.
Fred, I think they can do whatever they want.
Well, they can. They can try, and I understand.
And they will.
But I think, Fred, do you really think the Patriots want to be openly picking another fight with the NFL?
No.
You're making a mockery of their draft system.
I'm asking if you can, legally.
I think that you can pass on the – I think you can – you don't necessarily have to just, say I'm passing, but you just use up all the allotted time and someone else picks.
Boy, wouldn't that stick it to the league? They said, we're just not going to exercise that pick.
But I also think there's a chance if Matt Ryan ends up being the true number 1 quarterback, the guy that everyone wants, and you got the Atlanta, you got different teams there, you even got the Dolphins. Maybe teams try to position and go up and get him, and the Patriots can. That's the team that they can drop down a few slots, take Laronitis.
I think that's
the thing that they would like to do.
They
the
need to do a great job of manipulating what's out there, who's trying to do what. increasing the value of that pick somehow.
Well, we're
PR and spin and everything.
Now, we always talk about, well, the Patriots trading down, and you're always talking about trading draft picks. But what about trading for an existing veteran?
Could do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like...
Or both.
I don't know.
Yeah, you could do that. That's definitely an option.
A linebacker that you like that's out there.
But I'll go on record right now. I don't think they're taking Darren McFadden. I think that's a smokescreen. And I'll tell you why they won't. Because we haven't done our draft preparation yet, but there's a guy from Illinois coming out.
My boy, I love him.
Who I think is almost as good. Ray Rice is probably coming out. So I think when you look at the running back position as a whole, I know people are in love with McFadden, but I think once it all comes together and you start looking at the other running backs that are coming out, he's not going to be that much of a clear-cut
right.
guy where you want to take him at two. Pete, like you said, Andy Peterson, he's once every 10, 15
I think if McFadden
guy.
Goes top three, he should send Peterson a check for $1 million because his performance as the top running back is making McFadden's
right.
value shoot through
but
the
I
roof.
But I think the Patriots are starting to float out there to people, oh, we're interested in McFadden. Because
right.
I think they're doing exactly what
they
you
need
said,
to do.
Andy. They're trying to get people up there to get him because they don't even want him.
And I think Scott Pioli is very good at that. You know, I have some questions about his talent evaluation, how big a part he plays in the draft, and how much is Bill, how much is him. I think he's pretty good at some of that manipulation stuff. And they need to do a top-notch job of that if they're going to parlay that pick into... as much as possible and not
There's
take.
There's a story for the combine. We talked to guys like how much of that goes on.
Get a couple agents.
Yep. I mean, can you imagine if they still had that second pick in the first round, even if it's 32? I mean, boy, that's some ammo.
And they have the Raiders pick, right? So that's an early third. So that'll be like a top
yeah, they got a lot
third round
with.
Pick.
they got a
and
lot
they could get more.
What was that trade?
They swapped like something for something and a seventh. It was like they swapped a pick last year for next year and a seventh or... There was something involved there. There's a pick somehow there. But I guess we're falling into a little bit of a trap of just ignoring a 16-0 team.
Well, because I think that we can all, I mean, what are we going to analyze? We all think the Patriots are going to win this game handily. And the only real question mark is the weather. You know, does that prevent you from scoring 60 and make you only score 30? I don't know.
Or is God or the devil on your side, and the Jets are the one that drop a couple balls, and you get a couple easy defensive scores, and you tack that onto your
right.
four offensive scores.
If I'm a Patriot fan, the thing about the weather that I don't like is it brings uncertainty. The certainty
right.
is that the
You're
Patriots
better.
Will kill the Jets on a nice day. That's certain.
You know what I like, too? All of a sudden, records aren't good enough. We want to manipulate records. They want Randy Moss and Tom Brady to break the touchdown marks on the same play. It's not good enough if they just both break it. They want it to happen on the same play. So now
where'd that come from?
And they want the play to break the Minnesota record, too, so it's the 50-something point. And
how did you hear that?
Where's that
it's
from?
On the radio, I think. I think it was those two nitwits in the morning.
Oh.
So they say it, so that's what the Patriots want?
No. I'm talking about fans and people.
Oh, fans.
Because people will latch on to this.
Oh.
Make no mistake.
Oh,
enough people listen to that show and say, you know what, that's a pretty good idea. That would be cool if they broke it.
Fred, let me ask you
a
question. They're going to be playing here in the playoffs, okay? Say that they have trouble stopping the run over the next couple games like they have in the past.
Right.
Colts come in for the AFC Championship game. We got a blizzard going on. Are you extremely worried?
Absolutely.
Because they can run a die?
I'm worried about the Colts anyway because I think they have the one defense that can be
in Fred's mind, it's the 85 Bears and the Colts of this season.
Right.
He has fallen in love with that defense like I've never seen anything.
Look, I said it from week
one.
They're fast. They're smart.
They got Bob Sanders. We knew in that huddle that we could apply a pressure that's
yeah.
never been seen before.
Well, no.
As long as I was on the field.
Otherwise, we stink.
In 04,
thank God they don't have Albert Haynesworth, who Fred has fallen in love with.
Look,
that's true, too.
Hey, in 04, I turned around and I saw Paul, and Paul said, Fred, we're champions. And that was a special
moment. That was a special moment.
You got to stick your jaw out. That was a special moment. All right, Fred.
It was 03. I wasn't at the 04 game.
That's true. He didn't even watch it on TV. He's asking questions about how the game
was. I did watch it on TV. I just didn't remember a fumbled snap or whatever by Brady.
We got one that this is an easy way to get read on this show from James Garofalo in England. Tom is a big girl was the subject heading. I agree. He might be a dead girl soon. Hey, guys, and Tom, if he's there. So he really thinks you're a girl. You do have a little bit of a mangina. Just thought I'd fire off a real quick email to ask you what chance you think there is that both Tom Brady and Randy Moss, I didn't read this before. All I saw was a Tom is a big girl. What is the chance that both Randy Moss and Tom Brady both break the single-season touchdown records they're chasing when they play the Jets. I think Brady needs 5 TD passes, and it's 2 TDs for Randy. We need 4.
Randy's at 19. He needs
4 to break it.
Right. Yeah. He needs 4 to break it, right.
So he needs 4, and Brady needs 5, so it would have to be 4 of 5. I think it would leave a very sweet taste in Bill's mouth to walk away from the Jets game with both records. See, now we're just, you got to get it this week. What about the other 2 weeks? Prediction for the Jets game?
Pain.
That's what it says. Come on, Gary, play the soundbite. You know you want to.
Prediction? Pain.
All right, well, we're going to have more pain when we come back from this break because Fred Kirsch is going to jump in the big chair and start reading emails. PFW Progress, back in a minute.
He's been a 3-time champion, 2-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
3 touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of 3 flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. It's now professional hour. We got the amateur out of the host seat.
Why are you here?
And I'm ready to take over. PFW in Progress is the name of the show. webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
Wow, you turned away and then came back
to
the mic.
Hey, did you guys talk about Bobby Petrino at all?
No.
Not yet.
Just mentioned it.
What do you think I saw that last night.
I think it's laughable.
5 minutes with his assistant, say, I'm out of here, and just walked out.
I couldn't believe it. Last night I had turned it on SportsCenter just to see if anything big had happened. I obviously knew about that from earlier. And they said they were going to have the press conference coming up. And I was, press conference? They just broke this story about 2 hours ago. Fred, but I was telling these guys, you know what's a little bit more unnerving is that these coaches are just leaving NFL teams, like saying, see ya, and going to college.
Yeah.
Like, this used to be the pinnacle. You'd want to come here and Saban and Petrino, and now you're talking about maybe Cam Cameron are just coming in here using the NFL as a stepping stone.
Well,
one of the things
I think that tells you is that there's a lot of you-know-what that happens behind the scenes and these pros.
Sugar, honey, iced tea.
That we don't hear about that these head coaches have to deal with.
I just think it's the money. The college money is now so big,
well, yeah, but
aside from Penn State, that you can make big money. I mean, you really need to make $4 million? You can get by on $3 million.
But this is still the pinnacle of one's career if you can do it in the pros. But I think there's a lot that goes with it that it's just not worth it.
You know
it.
What I think one of the problems is, though,
it's like
Fred,
being president.
I think there's so few good franchises, and I think these guys get into the league and they see – how are we going to compete with the Patriots, Colts in the next couple of years? Our franchise is in disarray. I mean, I know everyone's going to slam Petrino and what he does isn't right. But if he's sitting there looking at that Falcons team, how are they ever going to compete in the next 3-4 years with everything that's going on? And maybe that's one of the things. If you're Cam Cameron and Michigan comes calling, you take a look at the – and that's not excusing his terrible coaching job. I'm just saying you look at the franchise and you're like, we're in the Patriots division. Why would I stay here?
You know what it is, too? It's that Greenberg thing that we were just talking about. They all know that if you don't have the
quarterback,
you can't win.
Yeah, but the trouble is,
in college,
the quarterback Petrino lost wasn't the quarterback he could win with.
No, but that's not the point.
And he traded.
He traded the guy he might have been able to win with.
But he may not.
He may not have realized that before he took it. That how different it is. You know, I mean, these guys don't have the experience. Whatever. I just look at it as if you're coming in and you see it firsthand. You know how important that quarterback in college. If you don't have a great quarterback,
you can still win.
You just make a different system. Yeah. Because if you just have a great athlete, and let's face it, out of 60, 70 scholarships, you're bound to get a guy that's special everywhere.
Unless you're Notre Dame.
So you just make him your quarterback, and you develop an offense. You know, like Tom was asking all those questions to Bill a couple of weeks ago about the spread offenses and things like that. You just come up with a gimmick, and you put the ball in that guy's hands, and suddenly Oregon's a top three program because they have one special player.
Mm-hmm.
One. And you saw it because when he got hurt, they can't play anymore. You know, so when Dixon's gone, I think you can't do it in the pros. If you don't have the quarterback, so if you're not Manning, Brady, you know, Romo, Roethlisberger, Palmer, that's it. You can't win. And some of the ones that even have them don't win, like Palmer.
Well, and in college,
even in college, though, I think you're seeing a little bit more parity.
Yeah, I was going to say, in college,
because
you can go to Arkansas
talent is spread all over the
and
country.
Win a national title.
Yeah.
You can go to Mississippi like Houston Nutt did,
right.
And you can make the SEC championship game. But years ago, that could never happen.
Mm-hmm. Plus, they're on TV every night, Tuesday night ESPN, Wednesday night.
Right.
I mean, everything is
so
spread out.
You don't have to go to Ohio State to be noticed anymore.
But my point is, the NFL game is so different that I think the talent is spread pretty evenly around the NFL. But if you don't have the quarterback in place with the coach, you're not going to win. In college, yeah, I think that there are teams that have more talent than others, but it's so evenly spread, it's a level playing field. Hmm. You find a way to have a system to benefit the one strength that you have.
It's funny because it's a 180-degree reverse.
Yep.
It used to be completely different.
And I'll tell you, to illustrate Paul's point, you watch a team that's going to shoot up here in the next year or two. The guy won't be here long because he'll take a bigger job. But Butch Davis is at North Carolina.
Yeah, yeah.
They were a terrible football team. They won like 5 games this year. He'll get that team to 8 or 9 wins easy, and then he'll go to another bigger. If you get a good coach like that who can recruit, you can win anywhere in college. In the NFL, you got to go through all this crap. And
it's such a business, too. Like
it is.
I mean, personally, if I was a coach, because I like that aspect of coaching. I mean, obviously in baseball, not football, but I would rather coach in college than the pros, even though I think it's a bigger deal to be in the pros. That's the pinnacle of the profession. But to me, it's so corporate and business. I kind of like the like the pep rallies and the excitement and the enthusiasm of the college game for me. And I think other people will like that.
I would have never taken you as a pep rally type of guy.
Well, I'm big on tradition, Fred. I like tradition. I don't know if you know, but
sit and be quiet during said.
I don't know if you know, Fred, but I'm kind of big on tradition.
You're big on tradition.
I'd have been big in the 50s. I'm just behind my time. I'm big right now.
I could see Paul like in the 30s with you know those convertibles with the raccoon skin coat and the little pennant. You know, sitting in the back of the
I was born in the wrong era.
By the way, I'm not so sure I agree that the NFL is that much better than college anymore.
Going back
I just think
40s,
if you, you're as famous, you make the same amount of money, everybody knows you.
No, I'm just talking about the
everybody has a TV contract.
Yeah, I don't know that there's that great divide where I got to go to the top of the I think if I win, people are going to say I'm the greatest college coach in history,
right,
and that's pretty
coach,
good.
But if people are going to consider Belichick the greatest coach, period. The greatest football
I don't think
coach
he could
ever.
Recruit.
My point being,
Carroll
I think
runs
that,
circles around him on the recruiting trail.
Well,
I agree with
no, but
what
Paul's right. I mean,
I agree your point.
The best of the best is
there's,
in the pros.
There's an example
I
right
think,
there.
You know,
Pete Carroll he's considered a great college coach,
right?
But not the greatest coach ever.
But because he failed in the pros,
right?
If you just make a name for
Joe
yourself,
Joe Paterno was not the greatest coach.
Well,
ever.
Belichick never did it in college, Andy.
Isn't Bear Bryant one of the greatest coaches ever? What do you
college coaches?
Bear Bryant is not
considered
like
one of the greatest
Lombardi.
Coaches ever.
No, he's not.
There's movies made about him. It's
well because
I think he's treated
Paul
the same
said.
Way. And I think the divide between college football and NFL is very close compared to any other sport.
Well, I think it's the same
you're
with
players. You're a great college hockey coach,
same,
no one gives a rat's ass.
I think it's
you're
the same with players.
You're a great pro
It's the same as players as it is with coaches. You can be the greatest college player ever, but you're never going to be the greatest football player ever until you do it
in
the
pros.
Chris Kane's
sure
a smart
that.
Kid.
You never see Herschel Walker ranked among the greatest
no, no, no,
football
I'm talking
players
about coaching. I'm not
right.
talking about players.
No,
I think players
I think
you have to prove in the pros.
I think you got to do it at the top level to be the greatest. How can you? It just doesn't make sense otherwise.
Because I just think it's a different game.
But you think that people, you know, and when I say people, I mean like historians or people that talk about football, they consider Bear Bryant on par with
one
Vince
of the
Lombardi?
Greatest coaches ever.
Yeah,
yes.
See, I don't.
I do.
I don't think anybody thinks. I think they think of him as one of the best college coaches of all time.
I think
but
he's
when you're talking
one of the greatest
football,
coaches ever.
Paul Brown would be considered light years
he's
ahead.
He's up there. Yeah, no, he's up there. But I think he's in the mix as one of the greatest coaches ever.
Well, he's definitely legendary.
Yeah,
let's
sure.
Let's say that. He's got a legend behind him.
Right.
But he didn't do it in the pros.
Right.
Joe Paterno's never going to be considered one of the greatest coaches ever. But
right.
he's been there for how many years? 50 years?
But I don't think he's a great example. I just don't think people think he's a great coach.
Plus,
I think he's
be
been there a long time.
Any day.
But and I think it's going to change even more now because I think if you're – because of the media, there's more media – so if you build a college football Joe Paterno now, if he started now as a young coach, if Greg Schiano stays at Rutgers for the next 40 years and wins four national titles and is consistently a top 10 team, I think he'll be considered one of the greatest football coaches in history.
I don't know. Bobby Knight, one of the greatest basketball coaches ever?
Well, yes, but I just said I think it's different in football. I think football is closer than any other sport.
Okay. I just think you got to go to the top to be considered at the top.
Could be. I just think they're different.
All this negativity that's in this town.
I would say the money is different, and that makes it more attractive because you can make just as much money in college.
Or more because you don't pay for anything. You live in a house. You have a car. You don't pay for anything, and you're still making $3 million a year.
I think that makes it far more attractive to a guy saying, hey, it used to be I wanted to get to the pros because I wanted to make $1 million.
And
I don't have to do that anymore.
I don't know what the hours are in college football,
not
but I can't imagine it's
they're
like
not,
the pros.
It's not.
Steve Spurrier proved
and
that.
The thing Paul's right about is I think – if you do believe you have to go to the pros to be the best of the best, if there is some difference there, I think the negatives outweigh the gains. I think all the crap you have to deal with is greater than the
the corporate
next
you know,
level
like it's a
you
business.
Get.
It's more of a business
ego.
In the NFL,
right?
If that makes any sense.
So
I understand it's a
true.
Business, but
even if you get me to admit, okay, the NFL is the pinnacle and you have to be there to be the greatest ever, well, I think that's 10% more. But I think the crap is 90% more.
Well,
I want to deal with
how Spurrier portrayed Andy. Because here's a guy; he's in the top two or three best coaches I've ever seen in college. This guy won at Duke, for Christ's sakes. He's won everywhere he's been. He's had high flying offenses. Look at South Carolina scoring points with these Shoemaker quarterbacks that he has. He comes to the NFL,
smelly,
just awful, terrible, and. He's at, if you ask people who don't really follow college football, I bet you they would say he's not a good coach.
He just couldn't do it.
I think
the
general thing is with him, he wasn't really willing to commit to be a pro coach.
Yeah, and I think with
that's part of him not
even
being,
though
you know,
even though
do
I disagree
22 hours a day and all the crap you got to do and
even though I disagree with Andy's point and I think I'm with Fred and Tom, I think that your point is more and correct me if I'm wrong, but that were coaches in college, not necessarily that failed in the pros. If you failed in the pros, you failed in the pros. That makes you not considered one of the greatest coaches ever.
Right,
but
you
if you're just
you
a college legend and that's all you've done.
It's the Fred thing.
Right.
They can wonder if you could fail as a pro, but if you never fail as a pro, I think you're considered
Spurrier
the greatest coach
failed,
ever.
Spurrier failed in his coaching days in the pros.
Right.
And plus, you know, as a pro coach, you're going against other pro coaches who are considered better. And your players are going against other pro players who are better. So,
right.
So the Fred, level of competition is raised everywhere you go.
Let me ask you. It's been proven that college coaches can't make the transition. I mean, we have
it's one of those cliches.
That's the
true.
Trend.
Numerous people that we can point to. Jimmy Johnson is the one exception, okay? So I was talking with my father, and he said, you know, why don't these teams, why do they keep hiring retreads? Why don't they hire some of the better football minds? And I said to him, where are they? Who are the better? You know what I mean? Like,
Pro teams?
Yeah, we blame these guys for hiring. Like, Miami took a shot. They hired Cam Cameron. He was supposed to be a bright, young offensive mind, and it's been terrible down there. So where are we going to find these coaches if we can't go to college and a lot of the coordinators are retreads?
Yeah.
I'm asking you.
I don't know.
He said, yeah.
He just pulled a Sarandis, 779-0850.
Where do you think these coaches are going to come from?
I think a lot of people are going to start realizing, young people will say, hey, you know what? There's a path to being a pro coordinator or coach that doesn't have to be, you know, starting in college and working your way up. So you'll see a lot of young people, you know, grab onto teams in their scouting department as coaching assistants. And I think you're going to see a lot of these bright kids start doing that because that's the trend. It's bring up these kids that all their lives have been around the pro game and they learn from the bottom and learn every facet of being on an organization. And then when they get to be a good a head coach, they know, oh, I got to pay attention to this. You know, it's not just.
I don't think you need to be a lifer in either way.
But
you
I think
just
it
need
helps.
To have both. If you're going to go from the pros to the colleges, I don't think you should go right to a head coach. And if you're going to go from the colleges to the pros, I think you need to be an assistant
but
first.
But I think if you go from college and then become even a coordinator in the pros, there's
too
a lot
big
of
a jump.
There's a lot of stuff you're missing.
I think you need to be a position coach.
Yeah. You're too focused on one thing. And I think, you know.
But people need to start looking for just good coaches. I think they get caught up in the, well, who did he coach under last year or. What did he just look for a guy who you think can be a good coach and maybe you need to get him in place to that's the problem.
I know, but once you
it's
become
a quick fix, there's like five guys and then they say,
well,
oh,
I would
say
once you become that head coach, there's a ton of stuff that you now are it's brought to your attention, you have to pay attention to that.
But you saw it if you were an assistant.
But you saw it, but you really weren't involved in it.
More so than if you take a guy from college who's been playing golf with car dealers all the time, and now he's a head coach running everything that it has to do with a Patriots organization.
I think you just hit the nail on the head. That's why I would want to be a college coach. All the perks. Campus life.
I don't know if you noticed the trend here. Paul just wants great jobs, and he doesn't want to have to work.
You got it, buddy.
But if you look at Miami with Cam Cameron, if they fire him after this year, then they must have never really liked him to begin with.
Yeah.
If I was an owner, I'd ask for a 3 to 5 year plan on how you were going to build my football team. And if you're already giving up on 1 year, then you never really bought into them.
Or there's stuff again that we just don't know about.
Well, that's the thing. I can tell you this plan.
We cannot live together
week in and week out how the place is running. You can say I could give him 100 years and this isn't going to work.
And there's a lot of talk down there that there's a lot of infighting and the locker room is a mess. He turned over the play calling duties and that didn't work. And maybe they just look at this guy and say, hey,
he's a clown.
He
doesn't know what he's
doing. He's not, yeah.
I think it was clear he's not a clown from day one.
He's not the answer.
I joked with you. I did like a season preview, and the writer from Miami was ripping the guy like he was already 0-17. So they clearly had seen things in training camp.
I mean, he wrote the opposite of your commentary?
I don't know if you know Paul, but I said they'd go 16-0.
I
writing before the season started.
Andy,
go back and check.
We were at the combine when he said, you know, I can't wait to be close with the media. And we just looked at each other and went, that's not going to happen.
Well, the other thing is, you know, you're hearing.
By the way,
these,
we're right on most of those.
I've heard rumors
the
that.
The Giants
you know,
GM, we told you he would suck. We're good. Sorry, Fred.
I've heard rumors that the Dolphins are actually out on the market. So if you're Petrino and there's a little bit of instability and the Arkansas job appears. And all of a sudden, that is a stable job. You say,
stop.
Like,
wait, we don't know what you're talking about. You said Miami,
you mixed up
Petrino.
Two teams here. You got Miami on the block, and from what you're talking about Petrino.
No, never mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was.
Never mind. Yeah.
You had us all thoroughly overlapped.
No, you started talking about Cameron. I was still thinking about Petrino, and then I get mixed up.
You go back to the Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one team you.
Brewski's anyway, break. The bottom line
but
is.
But if you see Cam Welker, Cameron, take see a college him? Job, that's why.
Whether you go or not, whatever, like Petrino. You can do it with a little bit more class. Yeah. I mean, well, first of all, why can't you finish
the guy did it in a day. He got named. Well, first of all, no, it was reports.
Well, Arkansas, from reports Arkansas might have said to him, you either take it today or we're moving on.
So I'm the just job saying, though, went from, on ESPN, I went from reports are he's going to take the head coaching job to having a press conference with him and his family. It was weird.
About 7:30, 7:45, I saw the scroll come up and said, breaking news, Petrino resigns as Falcons coach. He claims that's the first contact he's had with Arkansas. I mean, come on. Don't insult us all.
Yeah.
And like Andy said, it's one of those probably one of those semantic things that, you know, the Patriots will want to do with right.
I didn't
of,
talk to
but,
him.
But Neil
Cornish
has been on the phone
right.
with him for 2 months.
Right.
And the Falcons have just named defensive backs coach Emmett Thomas as the interim coach for the next.
That's a little interesting, right? I mean, normally you just say one of the coordinators.
Apparently they don't like any of them either.
Well, they're probably Petrino's guys, so you can't clean house.
I wonder if they left. I mean, who were the coordinators, do you know?
So getting back to this ESPN year-in-review thing.
Oh, boy. Look, can I say one thing?
What?
Your boy broke this story, you know, as a rumor like 2 months ago.
Who what?
Florio.
Did he?
He had Petrino returning to the college game. I think he had him tied to Auburn initially as a potential. But then they won a big game, right? And that kind of ended all talk of that. But he had this out there, and he said it was a rumor. But, you know, Mr., I haven't talked to him as of Tuesday. For some reason, there was a rumor out there 2 months ago that you wanted to go back to the college game.
Right.
Now, okay, now you can get back to your all worked up
I'm watching
ESPN.
This top, and they did the top 10 storylines. And
is this just football or sports?
Oh, sports. Patriots were number 9, the pursuit for perfection. Number 8 was Marion Jones. Come
That's
on.
Stupid.
That was a two-day story.
Plus, it's not a story. It's a part of a
I just
huge...
like how you're mad.
It should just be steroids.
These rankings are stupid all the time.
I know, but I had a lot of issues.
What was one?
Barry Bonds.
So they broke.
No. Yeah, Bonds was number 1. Vic was like 2 or 3.
They broke steroids up into like separate stories.
Yeah.
To me, that's one big, huge story.
Number 10 was A-Rod.
What about him?
You know,
I bet you I
can
find
10
other stories you could put in that top. I think those things are stupid.
Yeah. And then they did the Chris Berman's top 10 plays.
Oh, Christ.
And half of them weren't even plays. They were games or they were events. It's just, I had a lot of problems. It's like they slapped it together last night.
Don't they do these year-in-review things like at the end of December, January?
It's kind of.
I think this is their
early
time.
December.
It's getting there.
I think
early
this
December.
Is their time of year that they don't have anything, though, because the college basketballs
bowl
are in,
season.
They're in semester break.
They would have bowls then. They might as well blow their load on this week.
Because
right.
I was actually thinking the same thing last night. I was like, well, come to think of it, there's really not, they can't have any college basketball games. There's not really many games being played right now. And then the bowl season starts next week.
Yeah, because I saw
and
our commercial.
They try to pass that NBA off as a sport, and no one's watching that.
No one cares about that.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Josh from Waterloo, Iowa. Says, Fred is a cork soaker. Just wanted to give you guys some love, not in a gay way, of course. You had some douche boat go after Paul yesterday. Well, I just wanted to point out that on Friday, Andy suggested that there could be a flea flicker to Moss. You really backed into that one, didn't you, Andy? You guys do a great job, and I turn to all of you for accurate information. Keep up the good work, and Paul rocks.
That. I nailed that one.
Did you really say that?
Good job, Andy. None of us has any recollection of
it
whatsoever.
As I've
said in the past, I talk a lot. I say a lot. I'm like Anthony Smith. I don't always remember what I said.
I'm going down with the ship. That wasn't a flea flicker. It was a double lateral.
I just love how the emailer doesn't bring up that the guy has been talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers for 3 months. Okay,
because I clarified last week,
and then doesn't. Okay, he doesn't pick them to win, but he didn't take the 10.5 points
because I knew they were motivated.
10.5, which means you can go up to 14 pretty much when you get the 10.5.
I gave him 13.5.
And he wouldn't take it.
Because I told you why.
Fraud.
No, I had perfectly legitimate reasoning. I didn't expect them to have tight games down the stretch. They'll put this chip the size
your
of Mount Everest on their shoulder.
Miguel Tejada traded
for that.
Today.
Who? Where?
Miguel Tejada to the Astros for 5 players.
Well, in the beginning of the year, he made the argument that there's a better chance the Patriots will go 0-2 than 2-0 with the Jets as one of those teams on the schedule. How can you take anything else he said with a grain of salt?
You're now challenging my credibility on this show.
I'm with Fred.
You?
I'm with Fred, too. That was the argument I used yesterday when I was supposedly jumping on your bandwagon.
You're the dumb one.
You're being paid to be credible.
I am credible.
No, you're
incredible.
Yeah. Robert from Atherston, United Kingdom, says, I was just wanting to inquire as to whether I can get a picture sent to me by you guys of Andy's head. And also Fred.
My head is huge.
It comes as I was speaking low to res. Friends about you four and showed them Paul, who, by the way, is not as fat as Andy makes him out to be.
Hey, thanks.
See and what I've done for you? I've built up expectations of your fatness so high that people see you and go, wow, he's not really that fat.
And I also have seen Tom, wish you well. Me. I have never seen Fred or Andy, though, and was wondering how big Andy's head really is. My current vision of Andy's head is similar to that of Mr. Mackey. It wouldn't stop growing, okay?
Okay. Well, if you had watched ESPN Sunday Countdown, they had a thing on Bill Belichick's press conference. And on the teaser, they had us guys all sitting in the front row. So I watched it to see if we were going to be on. And we weren't on, but they showed a scene from behind. And all you could see was Andy's big fat head in the front row. And Allison goes, man, that thing is huge. I mean, it really, if you knew who you were there, Andy, and you were just looking for that, it really did show how big your head was.
Now, should I
need a haircut right now, though, so it's even bigger.
Should I thank Allison for not saying, wow, look at that bald spot on Paul's head, or did she really say
Let
it
me ask you,
and you're just being nice?
No, I said, there's Andy's big freaking head.
Andy, now, you usually keep your hair
very
close
short.
Cropped. What would happen if you let it grow out? What does it look like?
It looked like Shane.
Really? You have that kind of hair? It's unruly?
No, I'm just saying it would be huge.
I've never really.
It's like Sputnik.
You've never grown it long?
No. I hate long hair. This is 2 weeks longer than I'd like to be, 3 weeks longer
but
than
But, man, it must look like a freaking melon if you let it grow out like that. Oh, my God.
We'll never know.
Had a water
I'll look like Randy Moss when he takes his things out.
Let's see. Did you do Matt from Wasika's email?
I delete emails that I read. So
well,
if
I'm on my own thing. You didn't delete them from my account because I'm on my own account.
Why are you on your own account?
Because I like to do it the way I do it.
Okay.
The wrong way.
Yeah. Matt says, just heard that Bobby Petrino resigned. Don't blame him, but I got to thinking about coaching vacancies and wondered,
Josh McDaniels.
Do you think that we will lose McDaniels this year?
Yes.
I would think he would stay around another year, but maybe he would go as soon as he can, because after this year, his stock is as high as it can go.
That's what I'd do.
I also saw the other day a graphic on ESPN that showed running backs' performance from the draft class that Maroney was taken 2 years ago. He was third on the list behind a dying Jones-Drew. While I'm not saying Maroney is great, I think he deserves another season before we call him a bust. I think if we had another back with him like he did with Corey Dillon, he would be much more effective.
So he's a bust. Fred, this is what I'm going to present to you, okay?
Okay.
Reggie Bush, I loved coming out of the draft, correct?
Right.
You were here.
Play it. Cue it.
I think he's a... Go ahead, Gary. I admit
Bush can do things for you.
I think the upside of Bush is phenomenal. I admit that Reggie Bush has been a disappointment. Now, the New Orleans Saints threw the most passes in the NFL last year. They currently have thrown the most passes in the NFL this year. Deuce McAllister is better than Corey Dillon or Sammy Morris, and Bush had split carries with him until he was injured. So couldn't I take, and Bush has been banged up a little too, so couldn't I take the approach that Reggie Bush hasn't really gotten a chance in New Orleans because they throw too much and he's had to split time, and once he gets his chance, he'll be better. Can't you take that approach?
You could.
Right, but I don't because I have eyes, and I'm watching Reggie Bush, and I say, this guy isn't that good. So you can make any excuse you want for Maroney. All I'm asking is use your eyes. Does that look like the back you thought you were getting coming out of Minnesota? That's all I'm asking.
Okay. Let's see.
Do we have breaking news?
Let me finish this email, then we'll get to Eric the Leg, who's just walked in. Also, I saw Mike Felger on ESPN this morning talking about Belichick versus Mangini rivalry. What a douche canoe.
Yep.
And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I miss Craig. Not that I want him to call in day after day, but once every month for 10 seconds wouldn't hurt anyone.
10 seconds once a month.
Eric.
How you doing, Fred?
Back in from the cold.
Yeah.
Were they outdoor or indoors today?
They were indoors, but I can never get this mic straight. Jesus.
Jeez.
And
who is Mike?
Sensitive artist type.
Couldn't get you straight either.
I like what you did there, Fred. Taking the Andy Hart role today.
Well done,
Very
Fred.
Nice.
I like
Very
what you
well
did
Well done,
there.
Fred. We got to the bubble wherein practice was alleged to have been held.
Yeah, a lot of standing around.
Practice was changed to a walkthrough, so we were not allowed entrance into the building.
Okay.
Kind of an interesting turn of events.
Something up their sleeves.
Apparently Wednesday walkthroughs are now the in
it's
thing.
It's now the vogue thing because it worked so well last week, obviously.
Of course, it was a short week, so there was a good reason for
it. It was a short week.
Now they're just taking the Jets lightly.
I don't know. Or they're taking them extra strong because, you know, in a walkthrough, you're going over actual, you know, stuff that you don't want everybody else to see and witness. So you can take that one of two ways. But, yeah, we got to the bubble. We're standing outside and waiting for the call to go in. And then one of the PR people said, you might as well get in your cars and just wait because we're at least 10 more minutes away from start time, which was a little bizarre. We got in our cars, and then not even 2 minutes later, they said, all right, they're just doing a walkthrough, so you can leave.
So we don't even know who wore the black shirts.
Ray Ventrone was one of them.
He was one of them.
Oh.
Chad Jackson was another, because I saw that hanging in the locker, and Tim Mixon. Those are the only ones that I had seen in the locker room.
One of these things just doesn't belong.
So they're doing a walkthrough today, which, you know, that's okay. Give them some rest. That's fine.
It's nice that they informed the media to make it easy on everyone. Or so maybe Bill just decided, you know, on a whim, because he's one to do that often. He doesn't like to plan ahead. He just goes, you know what, walk through. I'm just going to fly by the seat of my pants this week.
So you think it's just now trying to monitor everybody?
Yeah, probably.
Rest everybody?
Probably.
Had nothing to do with the short week?
I actually think when we were leaving Brady, I heard him say, taking it easy on our legs or something. So maybe he was already talking
about
it. Brady.
Oh, really?
So maybe he had informed them that they were having a walk through.
Anything else you want to add?
That's about all we can add for practice today. There wasn't, you know.
These guys' take was that the locker room was light, and
oh, absolutely. It's been that way consistently. But yeah, I mean, guys, you know, joking around, getting along, extra. I've never really seen anything like it.
13-0 can do wonders for chemistry.
It's a good point, Fred. That is true. We're raving about the chemistry being perfect. Maybe that has to do with the perfect record.
You've been on point today, Fred.
You've been on point.
Hey, Fred, let me ask you. If they go 19-0, win the Super Bowl, what kind of hunger, what kind of desire do you think they have next year?
Well, I mean, I think...
Don't you think by human nature
I think certain players will still have the hunger, like Brady. But...
Well, he'll always.
I think you need that infusion of guys.
I was going to say, don't you think it might be good to bring
Seau, thanks for the help. See you later.
Well, I think all those guys are going to say, thanks for the
and
ring.
So now,
I'm out.
Now you need to bring in those one or two other veterans who have been in the league a long time, never won anything, to keep that hunger going.
I think they're going to be a totally different team, and there'll be natural drive because we've talked about it. I mean,
Jason Taylor written all over him.
Well, that's what
I mean. There's going to be so much turnover, especially defense. The whole defense is going to be different in the back end. I mean, the secondary could be completely different. Linebackers could be completely different. Receiver could get a pretty dramatic facelift. I think there'll be enough turnover where people will say, this is a totally different team. Last year was last year.
Now, I know, Tom, you're a little down on him, but, man, if we could get Reggie Bush, I think we could figure out what to do with him.
Oh, no, I'm saying he's not. I still think he's going to be a good player.
Where'd that come from?
Well, because a lot of people think he's
not
good.
Like a six-year deal? He's 2 years in?
No, but I thought he was going to be an every down back. I thought he could take – I thought he was going to get a little bigger, and I thought he'd be fine in that role.
Okay.
Obviously, he's not fitting in that role.
Would you take the Saints' first-round pick and Reggie Bush to give him our second pick?
I couldn't do it quick enough.
Well, especially since you're trying to –
they can now take McFadden.
Unload it for a mid – you want a mid pick.
You give Belichick Reggie Bush, and he won't be that every down back. He'll do exactly what you said. He'll line up at receiver.
He'll be a better Kevin Falk.
The Saints do that, too. I just don't think they have as many weapons around them.
Right.
You can kind of focus on Bush.
Drew Brees isn't as smart as Brady, and it all trickles down from there. Phil from Austin. Anything else? No?
I just
For practice, that's
draft talk.
All we can do.
Okay.
The draft talk has been good.
Early December, ESPN's doing year in review, and we're doing the draft.
But the fans are all into it.
No, I know. I love it.
Last year, we didn't get nearly this kind of talk about the draft.
Because people have pretty much, it's 16-0 is already in the book.
Yeah,
they just need to do it. Right.
Who we play in the first round.
You shouldn't say that, really.
It is what it is.
Don't know what's
going to happen. Pittsburgh or San Diego, most likely.
In the first game?
Yeah.
That's 4-5 Pittsburgh's, unless the Browns or Bills pull an upset.
So. People are worried about San Diego, but Turner's
not worried.
Who is?
People here.
Who? Like who? Above?
Really? Yeah.
You mean the big one up in the sky?
Yeah.
I'm more worried about Pittsburgh coming back here, to be honest with you. Because I think they played with them for a half.
I agree.
The only thing...
Holmes will be healthy, and they'll be going deep on Ellis Hobbs.
The only thing I would say about San Diego is... You think if they put it together and they played to the best of their abilities, they could play with the Patriots?
Yeah.
But the thing is, we're 13 games in, and we haven't seen that
once. Plus, they hate each other. Yeah. How are they going to put it together when they're all hating each other?
We have not seen it once, so why should you fear that it's going to happen in the divisional playoffs?
I don't fear them.
And I think Pittsburgh
I fear the Colts. That's it.
I think the Steelers are more mentally tough than San Diego. Well, I think if one thing goes bad for the Chargers early, they're just going to unwind.
I agree with that also, but I really agree with Fred on this one. I think the only team that's even worth
But you, more so than Fred, thinks the offense is okay, too, because Fred thinks it's just defense domination.
Now,
3-0, Colts win.
What I would disagree with, both Fred and I think, Tom, you posed this question. If it snowed here, Colts might as well not even get off the bus, because they're not lining up Joseph Addai and running him down the Patriots' throat if they have to run. They're not going to do it. And I know that they run the ball reasonably well, and I love Addai. I think he's played really, really well. But I don't see them lining up saying, here he comes, we're going to run the ball three times for a first down against the Patriots. We know you know that we're going to run it. I don't think they have success doing it.
You know, we talked about this earlier in the show, you know, about worrying about the Patriots being able to stop the run. I think the Patriots, any team that wants to come in and say, we're going to beat you with our running game, the Patriots say, go for it. Because that's going to limit your possessions. It's going to take your time to score. You know, and that's fine. You want to go at fine. As long as they don't give up the big play, the Patriots
It has something to do with the linebackers. They're just slow, man. They're just slow getting over on stretch plays. Bruschi and Seau, I know they're out there. They're trying hard. They're older, but they're just slow. There's no other way to put it. And you can see it. Like when you saw Parker take some of those stretch plays, you'd see Bruschi and Seau trying to come over. They're just not quick enough. And I think that was one of the advantages of having Thomas on the inside, would you get more of that athletic ability there. Mm-hmm. They got to address that situation this coming offseason, no question about it.
Yeah.
Why would the Patriots be content to let the other team score by taking time?
I'm saying that if that's the way you want to beat us is with your running game, I'd rather have you do that than pass on us.
Well, I don't understand.
Would the Patriots rather get in a shootout and just outscore you 55?
They want to speed up the pace of the game. They want you to try to have an urgency that you need to score quickly. They don't want you doing what Pittsburgh did in the first drive last week and take 8 minutes off the clock.
Yeah, that only
keeps the Patriots' offense off the field.
No,
they don't want you to do that.
But the Patriots figure that they can score pretty quick.
And, of course they can.
You know, I just think that they're not afraid of teams running games. You know, if you
That's a different argument. You're saying the teams can't beat the Patriots by running the ball because the Patriots are too good. I agree with.
No, I'm not even saying that. I'm saying that you're going to limit the amount of points you can score if you just go at us by running.
And you're also limiting the amount of points that you're going to give up by limiting the possessions. That's the thing about possessions is they're an equal amount in the game.
I think
whether everybody gets the ball 10 times or 5 times, you can't, unless you're onside kicking,
but
you can't get extra possessions.
I know, but extended drives by the opposition.
Are good for the opposition, not for the Patriots.
May end up in points.
Here we go.
But the more chances you give the Patriots defense to come up with a turnover, you make a mistake.
I thought it was ending for a second.
You know, the more plays you have to make to get points, the Patriots saying fine.
Fred, I think you're operating under the assumption that New England is playing with a lead at that point. Am I right?
Oh, it's a pretty even game.
But they're in the lead, and if the other team is taking a long time to score, that's in the Pats' favor.
I wasn't really thinking of it that way.
You know what?
I'm just talking about your game plan.
I'm thinking of the Baltimore game.
With 40-mile-an-hour winds.
I don't care.
Three touchdowns were dropped. That game would have been a blowout.
All right.
All right. Phil from Austin. I listened to your show, your Tuesday show last night, and I agree with Andy about Bill doing the opposite when everybody expects the Patriots to try and run up the score Sunday. My suggestion, instead of having the quarterback take a knee three times in the last possession, the quarterback should take a knee three times on every possession during the last 10 minutes of the game.
Uh-oh.
The message would be that we can win this game with half our team tied behind our back. The anti-Belichick media members wouldn't be able to complain about running up the score, but in reality, it would be an even better way to humiliate an opponent.
Or you could just say he's making a mockery of the league.
Well,
like he does when he does drop kicks with Doug Flutie.
Do you feel bad for the Jets players?
No.
If the Patriots win 50-0 or whatever?
No.
I don't feel bad for anybody's players.
Nope.
Because it's really, they didn't do anything.
Doesn't matter.
Play better.
Yeah, I also don't think it's really all that related. They're going to lose 50-0 because the Patriots are better than they are.
Yeah, they lost 34-3 to the Cowboys, and the Cowboys didn't even show up for that game.
And the Patriots didn't have a grudge against the Bills and the Redskins, and they blew them out of the bleeping water. Right?
Right.
So it's the Patriots are better. They're going to blow out some teams.
Yeah,
the one problem I have with the Jets is Kerry Rhodes saying they could blow us out.
See, I kind of like that, though. That's an old Parcells-Belichick thing where, oh, poor old us, we'll just be lucky to
reverse
even us.
Reverse psychology?
Belichick does it all the time. We're just trying to get the center snap.
I think it's a little different when you could get blown out.
No, but Andy, I think it's bad if you say it after the game, like Jerron. This is, I think, remember when the Patriots come out and the fans boo them, and I say the fans should actually cheer them because
right.
they like to be booed?
Right.
I think this is Kerry Rhodes saying, you know, we're not going to guarantee nothing. We're just going to come in, hope to play well, see what happens.
See, I think it's Ellis Hobbs standing at his locker saying, I'm just hoping to stay within 15 yards of a receiver this week. You can't do that. So it's not funny. It's not motivation. You stink.
But why, you know,
I think it's the same thing.
Like, I think it's very similar.
I think if you're a DC
it's very similar to the way Belichick would say, well, the last time we played them, you know, we were just, you know, they were running out the clock on us in the fourth quarter. We're just hoping to make it a competitive game. Remember the Denver playoff game?
Yeah. But see, it's not true because he's a good football team. That's my problem. Like, I think Joe Gibbs coming in with a team that was whatever. They
so
had a chance.
So you don't think that Kerry Rhodes is saying to himself, if we execute our game plan and we play.
I think they stink and they know they stink.
I don't think any NFL player has ever taken the field not thinking they can
win. I think they know they stink. I think they know they stink, and as they said, if we win this week, it doesn't change anything. We stink.
I give them more credit than that, then. I think that NFL players think that they can win.
I think when you stink and you come out, you stink, you look stupid.
I think they're just not trying to give the Patriots anything to use.
Which is
fine. They're bending over backwards to make
sure
they're
doing a good job. Wholeheartedly,
nothing I say is going to be on that bulletin board this week.
They're doing a darn good job.
I agree with that 100%. I just think he went too far and admitted they're going to get killed.
On the phone right now is Craig from...
North Carolina.
No, Pennsylvania.
No, Pennsylvania.
How you doing, Craig?
Okay, how are you guys?
Good.
Wow. Great job as usual.
Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to get back to the running the ball against us versus passing the ball against us. I think that most teams would rather run the ball just because our linebackers being older, they want to wear our defense down as the game goes on, rather than just passing down the field and getting our defense off as soon as possible. They want to keep them on there as long as they can to keep Bruschi on there. Tire him out.
I think if a team has the guts and an adequate quarterback, they can make hay passing on the same linebackers you're talking about. Because the same age that you see affecting them in the run game affects them even more in coverage. That's the way I feel.
That's true. That's a good point.
Wait a minute. Didn't you just like totally cut ties with your argument?
No, I didn't. I said if they want to run, the Patriots are saying, go, run. I don't want to be passed on.
I just don't think the Patriots defense is saying, go ahead and run on us, because that's taking your manhood away.
Right.
That's saying, we're going to line up, we're going to smash you in the mouth, and we're tougher than you are.
The Patriots aren't terrible at run. It's not like they're that bad at it. I think they're going to have some success.
Well, they gave up back-to-back 100-yard
rushers.
But
if your game plan is to run on us, have at it. Try it.
I've heard enough defensive players say they'd like to get Tom Brady back on the field as often as possible. And a team running the ball down the field is not the best.
I'm not saying they will run it down the field. I'm saying if that's your game plan, we welcome you to try to do that.
So, but are you saying that you think there's a better chance that a team is going to be able to pass the ball down the field than
yes.
be able to run it?
Yes.
Okay, that's a whole different
yes.
argument.
I am
As
saying
is that. Usual, you and I wasted 5 minutes of our lives
that we can never get back.
I just think that I think the Patriots are more vulnerable. As much as we're talking
about. Oh, I agree
about,
with that.
As much as we're talking about the run because of the last couple games.
They're much,
no, I think the
pass.
Patriots are much
so
more
all the
vulnerable
stuff,
against
their pass
the
defense has stunk all year.
Now I totally agree with you. And all the stuff that you were talking about limiting possessions was completely irrelevant. We had another one of our normal arguments.
Fred knew he was wrong when the first caller called him out, so he changed his argument. Good job, Craig.
Thanks,
another
Craig.
Question. Yep. Another question, quick.
Yes.
Still there? Any chance for one of the last couple games they could bring back the old unis for one game?
No.
That will happen next year, most likely. They've already had the one game where they wore the silver. Didn't they have
the
silver?
Yeah, the Bills, Buffalo.
I think you're allowed two. Okay. You're allowed two games per year, but they don't have the red jerseys in production right now, but next year, from what I understand, they will wear the red jerseys.
But it's not the throwback. It's a red alternate.
It's a red alternate jersey. I think they're doing away with the silver.
Oh, I thought
it's
good.
Supplanting the silver as their alternate jersey.
But I thought it was a throwback.
Not a throwback, though, like
they were wearing
Patriots.
No, I think
it's under the current design type, but it's red as the red.
I'm really not.
Now, in 09, when it's the 50th anniversary, I think all the AFC teams are going to wear throwbacks.
Yes.
Well, that's good. All season?
Not all season.
I would love.
I thought they were going to the throwback for the anniversary, and then that was going to supplant the silver jersey.
I think they want to have three going.
But
they're going to have a red alternate.
Obviously, it would be the third one.
Right.
It's red.
Want to create a new jersey so people will buy it in the pro shop.
The red one.
Right.
and because the silver one sucks.
It's terrible. It looks dirty.
It's the dirty
worst jersey in football.
Yeah, I don't like it. It didn't come out the way they thought it would. It's hard to make
either time because they fixed it once.
You know, without it making
they
look without it making look like something Diana Ross would wear. It's hard to make something silver.
Right.
You know,
it's terrible.
Yeah. And we don't want to look like Diana Ross out there.
All right. Thanks, Craig.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, Craig. That's Craig from Pennsylvania.
Fred just leaves people on the line for hours.
Well, that's how they do it on the big show.
That's how they do radio shows.
Yeah. I mean, you know. Let's see. Charlie writes in. He says, I'm sitting on my couch and eating my breakfast, and I turn on SportsCenter, and whose ugly mug do I see? Felger talking about the whole Belichick-Mangini feud.
He was on SportsCenter?
I guess so.
Him, Bob Ryan, Jackie McMullen, Mark Cannizzaro from the New York side. It's like one of those things.
Three
they
of these
showing
things
their heads.
Go together.
I don't think there's any question about it.
I just like when those guys talk about stuff like that. Like, you know, Belichick, you know, remember, he said, you know, this guy was back. You know, I took you away from making copies and cranking out press releases. Really? When did Bill tell you that?
Who said that?
That's what Felger was saying about his hatred for Mangini. Like, when did Bill open up and tell you that's how he feels about Mangini?
Well,
because I'm gonna guess no.
Right,
could have been when they were.
He's just
he didn't feel like that about Mangini then.
Oh, that's true.
He's extrapolating.
Right. I mean, and they like to say what Bill thinks. Right. When I don't, you know, I mean, look, I don't know for positive sure, but I'm pretty sure that Bill doesn't let a lot of people know what he thinks.
Well, it's just, you know. I just think, like, this whole guarantee thing, I don't think that's what got the players mad. It's when he started talking about the Patriots wide receiver core and Welker in you know, specifically. I don't think they care if he guaranteed a win.
Well, they did talk a lot about the guarantee after the game, too. I think.
Really?
I think the wide receiver thing, I think, clearly bothered them, but I think the guarantee thing didn't help either.
Especially when Moss was pointing out Smith on that pass interference call in the end zone, and he was, you know, getting the crowd in.
Right.
I mean, you knew he was pointing.
Yeah. No, they were mad at Smith. There's no doubt about it. James from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, wanted to give you a heads up. Something you may or may not know. Today is the 25th anniversary of the infamous snowplow game.
Yep.
I saw them showing that on TV just a short while ago.
I'll give you a heads up, Fred. You know, we have someone in this room who pretends that he's a huge Drew Bledsoe fan and was tight with Drew and all that. But I see the Boston Herald spoke with Drew Bledsoe this week, talking about what the Patriots are doing and Tom Brady.
Really?
Tony Maserati, once again, leaving Paul Perillo in his dust.
I didn't know what
you
were talking about.
Leaving Paul in his dust and breaking a
story. So what does Drew Bledsoe have to say?
I don't know. He didn't say it to me.
He just said
it. I'm a little hurt.
He said Tom's having the greatest season in history.
Did you?
You were horrible.
Really? And he never returned your call?
No.
Who?
I can't hear anything.
Who?
You hear me?
But Maserati he talks to?
Yeah, I guess so.
He's going to
Paul is my Paul is really shaken up about this.
He's going to jump my butt.
Easy. Was Tom here back then? No, he wasn't.
Back Bledsoe?
I don't know who he was talking about jumping his butt then.
I was really good in junior high, too.
Let's see. You failed to mention a big difference between college and NFL coaches, says Stripper. The time put in. College coaches have three times the time off NFL coaches do.
We mentioned that.
We did mention that.
It's a whole different ball game. We mentioned that Spurrier.
I'm sure later in the email, Stripper says, oh, I'm sorry, you guys actually did mention that.
Email 7B.
That came in before you talked about it.
Oh, okay.
Nick in Vermont, some questions. I continue to be blown away by the Pats' ability to completely abandon the run and be so productive. Is there any history of teams doing this and being successful? Do you think we are witnessing the possible start of a new era of football where certain teams put all their focus into passing and the running game becomes an afterthought?
The new era will last 3 years until the defenses figure out what to do, and then that'll go back.
And it didn't start right now.
And
just so you know, San Francisco was kind of doing it in 79.
But there's been a trend toward passing the last few years.
It depends on your personnel.
And rules
and rules.
Everything like that.
I think that's been a big part of the
trend.
You're
looking at the Saints, they don't run the football. You're looking at Seattle, they don't run the football. You're looking at the Cowboys, they don't run the football. You're looking at the Patriots, they don't run the football.
I think the Cowboys run the football.
Not nearly as much as other teams. They run it just to run it. They don't really run it to set anything up.
Packers most of the year didn't run the football.
Yes, Packers didn't run the football. So I think teams are just taking advantage of the rules if you have a good quarterback.
By the way, didn't we just list the top 6
and lack
teams
of depth.
Yeah, but defenses will now adjust to this. They'll look at it in the offseason, and it might take – like you talk about the Bills' no-huddle offense. That couldn't be stopped by anybody for 2-3 years. And then teams kind of caught up with it and figured out what to do. And
because
so
the teams
all go in
what's his name brought this up? Hannah. when I talked to him, said because of all the passing, teams are dropping linebackers now playing 6-7 yards deep. And he said eventually the best way to counteract that is to run the dive right at him. So he projects that they'll be coming back to power running offense, running the dive
maybe
right
that,
at him.
Maybe that's the response to 3 years from now when defenses, like Tom says, if defenses make the adjustments, who knows? Maybe
he's everywhere. He'll click off.
And then, you know,
but you start running the ball. Fred will be right. in his glory. Everybody else
but
will be shutting off.
But then you start drafting guys that are smaller but faster that can
exactly.
cover better. And now a guy like Larry Zonka comes and just
that's
kills
exactly
people.
What Hannah means. I mean, yeah. Lofa Tatupu is
the NFL
is one of those
doesn't
guys.
Want that. They don't want running the dive. They want this. Right. They're happy with this.
All of a sudden, there'll be a rule. You can't have a running back. It's not allowed anymore.
I would say that, and I don't believe maybe you guys could come up with a team. I don't think any team has run the ball this little and have won the Super Bowl. I mean, the Rams had Falk. He had 1,500. So
I'd have to look at numbers and see what some of those 49ers teams ran. But I don't recall them running the ball very often with Montana. But you
they
know,
had
well,
Roger Craig. And
yeah, he sucked. He was a pass catcher. That was it.
Wow. I thought he was a pretty good
runner.
Yeah,
but runner. He had like 1,200 yard seasons. I mean,
the one thing I'd say
end up
is
with what 700 yards.
But that's
you'd have to
but
look
that's
at touches versus yards.
Yes, that's what I want.
My
say.
Guess is Marshall Faulk had a lot of big plays that season.
Right. No, I'm saying how many times did they run it? I don't remember a lot of teams running the ball 8 times a game like the. It just I don't remember that.
There's no question that Roger Craig had more yards than Lawrence Maroney, but. Did the Niners have more yards rushing than the Patriots do? That's what I'd be interested in seeing.
Well, I also want to see, did Marshall Faulk and Roger Craig and some of these guys hit the 30 or 40-yard runs that we think Maroney should be hitting
right.
with the passing
well,
offense?
No,
playing.
Oh, Roger Craig was a better right. – I mean, no question Roger Craig was a better production, better player than Maroney's been this year. I'm not trying to say that. When I said he sucked, I meant he was a product of the system. He didn't suck. I misspoke on that.
When I said he sucked.
I didn't mean that. I
sorry,
meant
I have this like mental image of what sucking is. And
so
I took it back.
It
I was wrong. What do you want me to tell you?
You
I was
sucked.
Wrong.
Actually, it's Roger
so Andy
Craig.
Doesn't get mad at me. Kevin in Hartford's on the phone right now. Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Great show. Welcome, Tom, back.
Thank you.
I just make a statement that we're 14th in the league in rushing, even though we haven't been rushing it a lot of the last couple of games, though. I mean, what do you
that
guys
number's
have to
been
say
going
that?
Down every
it's been
week.
Dropping.
First it was 6, then it was 7,
it was
then
eight.
It was 8, now it's 14.
I mean, the Colts are second, so.
It's been dropping.
I mean, that's 12th. I mean, they're only first two games.
Yeah, but they don't run
but they're
the
not
ball
a running team
yeah,
either.
Right.
Anyway, my other question though was what I just got the tickets for the two tickets for the games in the postseason, providing we get there. I was just wondering if you know the dates for them. Like, I know the divisional and the AFC games, if you know the actual date.
Is that the
12th and 13th?
12th and
13th,
I think.
But we don't know,
know what the date will be for that game.
We have pinpointed the
we
12th,
think it'll be,
the late game.
Yeah, we think it'll be the Saturday, and we think it'll be the late game, but that's speculation.
Yeah, but then because I think San Diego played last year on the Sunday in the prime spot, which was the 4:15 spot, when they were the one seed at home.
Oh, when New England
well,
went
the,
there.
The prime spot is actually the prime time game
Saturday.
On Saturday
night.
Yeah.
Is the TV game.
All right, I just wanted to make sure it didn't collide with my company party, which means then I'll have to miss the company party.
Skip the company party.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, you're living hard for the South.
What were you going to ask?
I was going to say from Canada. Sounds like he's from Canada.
He did.
And
nothing,
also if he's mad that the Patriots didn't go to Hartford.
I'm sure
see,
he
I
doesn't
just,
care.
I just think all these stats are stupid. I keep saying it. Use your eyes. Joseph Addai is a playmaker in this league. He's one of the better backs in pro football. So you can tell me that they're 12th and the Patriots are 14th. I don't care. A lot of that has to do with Sammy Morris's
right.
300 and some yards.
He's been dropping like a stone since he left the lineup.
Nick's second question, we didn't finish his email. Do you think the second half of the Pittsburgh game was one of the best halves of football played by the Pats against a good team? Where does it rank among the other great halves that the team has played during this decade? And what were some of the other great ones?
Best since I've been here. That's the best.
I mean,
half
they
of
held
football.
Pittsburgh to zero,
right.
And they scored 17.
Goal line stand
with
offense.
Yeah.
That was the most impressive Sacks. They've been since I've been
no,
here.
I just
was that
can't
second
really.
Half. I mean, you guys have a lot more games to go by.
I don't. I remember like the last three, and then. As we move forward, it bumps out whatever the last one was.
I'm sure the Colts playoff game has to be one of the where they beat them 20-3. That was just total dominance from start to finish.
Mm-hmm. Dana in Chicago. A couple days ago, I read an article by Jimmy Johnson on FoxSports.com saying the Cowboys were the best team in football right now. He gave various reasons, such as the fact that Dallas is young, talented, with an explosive offense. He also mentioned that the Patriots played their best football earlier in the season, and their defense is showing signs of getting run down. He ended it by saying that if these two teams met in the Super Bowl, Dallas might have an edge. What do you guys think? Are the Cowboys really a better team than the Patriots, or is this just Johnson rooting for the team he formerly coached?
I think he probably believes that, but I can tell you, I'll tell you right now, I followed the Cowboys for 25 years. I've been working for the Patriots for three, and the way the Cowboys play defense, they have no chance, none, of beating the Patriots in the Super Bowl. None. They don't play the way we say it every week of how you got to play the Patriots defensively. They don't do it. They play their corners back. They leave the middle of the field wide open. They don't jam receivers. They just don't have the defensive philosophy to beat the Patriots. No way.
And when did he write this story? Because I'm guessing he wrote that after
two
down weeks. Oh, it was after the Steelers game?
That's what
I think so.
You know what? Because I think you could make a stronger argument after those two games that they're on the decline. They peaked early in the year,
yeah.
But now we're talking about they're coming off their best half of football against a good team, an AFC team. I mean, I think you have to still say they're the best team in football.
The other thing he's doing is trying to make, I mean, not that he needs a name for himself, but he's trying to take the contrarian view because everyone's saying, you know, it's a foregone conclusion, they're going to win, blah, blah, blah. So he's trying to, you know, make news by saying that they're not.
Plus, it's like Tom talking about the Cowboys. It's a little biased there.
Of course.
I just said that they would get beat badly
in the
Super Bowl.
But most times when you talk about the Cowboys, it's clearly biased.
I don't remember those times.
I do.
What are they?
Every day. The days that end in Y.
Well, what did I say that's biased?
Every time you talk about the Cowboys, it's biased. You can't
Why?
Help it.
Actually,
you
I
live
think
and
Tom
die
bends
with
over backwards to be objective about the Cowboys,
you,
and it pisses me off.
I didn't know you had
that venom towards it. One thing I wanted to add, people are talking about that Giants game on ESPN like that's going to be some kind of a real matchup. The Giants,
the second time, game, you mean?
Yeah, the Giants, remember I picked them to beat the Cowboys that second time around.
Right.
I liked them because of their defensive front, but Dallas said all week they're a joke. They've been playing joke teams. A real passing team can kill them. Dallas has proved that twice. They didn't touch Romo in either one of those games, and their secondary stinks. The Patriots will destroy the Giants. They'll kill them.
I just real quick, Fred, you know, looking up the 49ers teams, they did run the ball a little bit more often than the Patriots. In 89, which a lot of people consider the best one, that was the 55-10 Super Bowl, I think. They ran the ball 493 times. Now, the Patriots have only run it 365 times. So, you know, you give them 25 carries, you know, they're not going to get to that level. You know, give them 25 carries, 75 more runs is not going to get you to 493. So, maybe this might be the best example of a team that ran. And Craig, by the way, did have most of his years he was around 1,000 yards, but he did have one year in there that he was 1,500. That's big boy numbers. So maybe he is a little bit better than I thought. I still think he's a product of the system, however. But
yeah, but Lawrence Maroney was supposed to be a product of this system.
Oh, I'm not. I'm not comparing Roger Craig and Lawrence Maroney. That's
Lawrence Maroney's a product of nothing. He's
See,
not productive.
That's the thing to me. When you watch the Colts and they can't run the football, Adai does other things to help his team win. When the Patriots don't want to run, Maroney's just a non-factor. So he's really no part of this
offense.
Well,
number of snaps, it's not even close. Adai probably gets, what, 80% of their snaps on offense? And Maroney's probably at, what, 40? If that.
If he's lucky.
Yeah.
If he's lucky, I
you
would
know?
Say.
I mean, that tells you right there, number of snaps. I want the guy in the field. Even if he's not going to get the ball, he's out there for a reason.
You know Bill would put him on the field if he thought he was giving them the best chance.
Now you can make the argument that no other team and no other coach like Bill Belichick switches personnel in and out. That's true, but.
Well, let me ask you this, Fred. I never got your opinion on this.
Wait a minute. What was that?
I don't think any team switches guys around like the Patriots.
But that would be an argument for why he should be in the mix, because it's not like he's set and there's four guys that always play. He moves guys in and out all the time, and Maroney should be in and out.
He should be, and people would say, well, he is, but I'm saying it's not enough to answer that argument
right.
that you have.
Well, Fred, let me ask you this. Late in the game, they had a chance to start running the football, and instead they threw six passes in a row to Wes Welker. To me, that's telling because
– Well, they just wanted to get him on the stat sheet.
Well, here's the one
but why I think not, that
why,
was
But
specific.
Why not try to get Maroney on the stat sheet?
Because
they called him Walker.
He was called out before
specific.
The game.
Oh. They made fun of Wes Welker. We're going to make sure he has decent numbers.
Because up to then, I only
over.
Think he had one catch.
Yeah,
he has done nothing.
Here's the one thing that I would say about that. When we were going to the TV show yesterday, they were talking about it on radio about how the running game, and they were over the top defending everything the Patriots do as they normally do. The one aspect that I thought they said that I thought
I mean,
made sense.
Say that when he's on with them.
Oh, God. First of all, we already know that you don't listen
That's true.
When I'm on. So anyway, those
Felger
passes.
Felger does, though, and he tells me.
Those particular passes to Welker, that's basically what their running game is now. That's what they have decided. That's our
point.
Way to grind out the clock. Those aren't going to be incomplete. They're not going to be intercepted. And we're not going to give up sacks on three-step drops and two-yard throws. That's how they've run the ball. And I don't necessarily agree with it. I think what Tom said, that's the time that you should have your running back out there, because now the clock can't stop. Now, there is a chance that we could have an incomplete pass on one of those plays. Guy could drop it. You know, I mean, we want to get the clock running.
Right.
They threw the ball on that drive 12 straight plays. They completed 9 in a row, and then Brady had 3 incompletions to close that drive, and they kicked a field goal. It was a great drive. I mean, they went 89 yards or something like that.
I mean, the guy has 45 touchdowns to 5 interceptions.
But don't you think even more so for the offensive line to get them run? You know what I mean?
That's true.
In case you get into one of these weather. I think
you can go back and forth.
I've gotten to the point where I just don't think it matters.
No, I don't think it matters.
I know conventional wisdom says it will matter. You know, don't you want to do this? Don't you want to get in case you get into it? I don't think that there's any chance that they'll ever get into a game where they won't be able to throw to the point where they have to run.
What?
Isn't Bill in the best interest of his team? And wouldn't his best interest
on everything,
right, be able to do anything? I thought he covered all his bases. Okay. I thought he was ready for a snap that hits the goalpost late in a game.
Try to be Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels.
I think
he
thinks those are the running plays.
I mean, it's a legitimate argument because people have been quoting Bill Parcells. When the weather gets nasty up in Foxborough, you're going to have to run the ball.
Here's my
argument. So what if you're Bill Belichick? What's your argument?
Here's my argument. I think they've already come to a conclusion on Maroney. That's my argument. I think they already know for sure what we've been kind of suggesting here, and Bill knows it. He doesn't have to see any more on the field. He's not tough enough mentally or physically, and Bill's going
to
be moving
on. So what they're doing is because they have to, not by choice. All this throwing is because
they're choosing the better option. Wes Welker, right. I feel like he gives me a better chance if I throw him the ball 2 yards downfield. Sometimes he's going to break it and go 22. Sometimes he goes down there, but it's our best option.
I think he feels what do I have a better chance of getting a first down? 3 of those throws to Welker or 3 runs from Maroney?
Before Maroney had gotten hurt there, in those games when they had the lead sometimes, they put Morris in the game and started running the ball a little. They never do that with Maroney. There's got to be a reason. You can't just sit there and keep making up these excuses.
All things being equal, do you think Belichick would rather run the ball than throw it?
No.
No.
I think he'd rather do something successfully.
Well, I'm saying all things being equal. Each will have
success. But I'm not big on hypotheticals. But you
right
can't.
Now
I feel like him answering the question. You can't.
You mean like with a big lead in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
I think he'd rather
run the ball. Yeah.
I do too, but I think he'd rather be successful. That's the bottom line.
But
I feel like Bill, it's never going to be like that.
But
it's never exactly the same.
It's land of make-believe. You're going to have
success
either way.
I'm not big on hypotheticals.
Yeah, like Gresh said on the pregame show, well, look who Sammy Morris went up against. Well, look at Buffalo. They're 30th in the league against the run. They threw all day on the Bills. They didn't even try to run. So Bill always looks at teams saying, well, they can't stop the run. But he doesn't do it with Maroney. There's got to be a reason.
He was doing well against Dallas up till he got hurt.
I think Coy Wire might have said something bad about the Patriots.
I think it was NBC who said it.
NBC.
Opened up that can of worms.
I have a quick rant. Did you guys see the final fan voting numbers?
No.
Did I read it correctly that Matt Light is leading, I believe, at left tackles, or is number 2? Nick Kazier is in the top 2. Dan Copen is in the top 2. And the other 2 aren't mentioned.
Mankins is not mentioned?
No, last week, Mankins and Neil were 3 and 4.
See, the guys who I think should
Who's
be most deserving.
Copen was 2 and Kazier was 3. I think Light was 2 and Kazier was 3.
Am I blinded by the fact that I like Logan Mankins?
Could be.
No, I think he's the best offensive lineman.
Because that's how I feel.
He's
not in the mix.
I think he's the Patriots' best lineman.
And you know how I know that? Because I actually notice him. That's one of those things I think you hardly ever notice if a guy's a great lineman. Mm. I just see him just driving people back all the time. Plus, he's mean and he likes to fight. So
how is he not? You know what the funny thing is?
He better get a bump from coaches
and
players.
Who's ahead of him?
The guy I noticed the most.
For sure.
The guy I noticed the most is Neil, but it's not necessarily because I think he's the best, because I agree with Tom. I think Mankins is the best.
Because he's stealing something out
of
the equipment
room? I see Neil downfield making plays in space because I think he's the best athlete of those.
He's also on the kick return team.
No, I don't care about that.
Has anyone ever done
as an offensive lineman?
Has anyone ever figured out?
I'm just saying.
Has anyone ever figured out since they've done this fan voting how many times at the conclusion of the fan voting that's how it ended up? Because 2/3 of it is players and coaches.
No.
I don't think you can get that information.
I'm wondering if this really even matters, because if 2/3 is players and coaches, maybe this is just a formality to make the fans feel good.
I think there's some truth to that. I think
I mean, it's got to matter somehow,
I think
right?
The guys that go are the guys that win the coach and play.
First of all, how does it work?
Mankins should be able to go this year.
How does it work?
Who?
Mankins should be there
this
year.
I think he goes.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not even going to pretend to tell you.
I am.
Which one's the offensive lineman? Yeah. I don't know. Alan Fanick is supposed to be good. I don't know. Is he good?
He stinks.
He got turned like a turnstile.
I know.
By
you know, Jonathan Ogden is a pretty good left tackle.
He's having
too,
a terrible year.
But he hasn't played
until he played the Patriots. He was having a terrible year.
He was dominant against the Patriots. Richard Seymour.
Well, I think that's the Willie Rofe thing where you're injured, but every now and then you get a good. Once those guys
he must
play
have been feeling
well.
Good that day.
Hey, you know, here's something that I noticed. I was reading that the other PFW, Pro Football Weekly. And they have this whispers section.
Yes.
And the whispers said about Richard Seymour that word at Foxborough is that he's not 100%, and that's why he's been limited, blah, blah, blah.
Richard Seymour is the one who whispered that.
He was quoted, yeah.
Maybe he was whispering when he said it.
Well, I thought that was interesting.
Did that come out before he said
it? Well, what do you think about Seymour kind of breaking the whole Patriots way and talking about not being 100%?
Yeah, I was surprised to read that. I was very surprised.
You're not supposed to do that here.
People like Andy questioning his toughness.
You're not supposed to do that here.
But what does he care?
I think Seymour has always been one to not necessarily adhere to those kinds of rules.
Once upon a time, I thought as soon as he hit free agency, he was out of here.
I think we'd all
then they put
that.
A big check in front of him and he cashed it.
We had kind of speculated on that all year too because he was shuffling in and out. He didn't seem like he had the energy or the strength that he had.
And then this week I flat out saw him stretching his hamstring, his knee significantly on the sideline. So it was like something was tightening up that he couldn't get loose. Mm-hmm. And it was clear also that they were just going to flat out rotate him. He went to the sideline after the first series, put a knit hat on, and I had you looking for him to see is he injured or whatever, and then he comes back later. So it was clear it was some sort of every other series or whatever they chose to do.
Brian in Aspen, Colorado. Tom, you aired when you chastised the English professor in your Ask PFW segment this week. Caddyshack was a wonderful movie from the early 70s starring Johnny Holmes and Marilyn Chambers and directed by the master of the silver screen, Mr. Stripper. I suggest you rent this classic and watch it through a keyhole for maximum effect.
Caddyshack?
C-A-T-T-Y.
Oh.
I've never heard of it.
It was a
so
porn?
The
70s
Marilyn
porn?
Chambers was a porn and Johnny Holmes is
like. So he's showing that to his class?
But you really, John Holmes.
Yeah, I don't think that an English professor was
this
showing
guy,
him that.
This guy says he shows Caddyshack to his
English class.
To his English class.
I don't think he was talking about a porn.
No. I was amazed he was talking about the original.
No, it was porn.
Once again, I ended that with saying, you know, what kind of class is this? Where do I sign up? If it was that, then I really want to sign up.
Brian also says, I'm probably way off base here, but does Samuel seem to be pulling up a little bit and defending the run to protect himself physically?
No.
I haven't seen that.
I actually saw him make a tackle the other night where I said I would have gotten out of the way of that. I'd be protecting his knees at all costs.
But no, I haven't noticed that.
Did you guys hear what John Clayton said? Setting up for 10 years and $100 million. Samuel and who's the other one? Oh, Marcus Trufant. 10 years, $100 million.
Is Trufant a free agent as well?
Yeah. He's having the best season of his
that's
career.
That's not good for Samuel.
No.
Mike says Fred is by far the best. My title is a completely ridiculous statement, but I felt Fred could use a little ego boost. My question, do you think Belichick cares that the running game is not very successful or is happy just tossing the ball around and breaking records?
They're winning. Why should he care? I mean, he probably...
He'd rather it be successful than not successful.
He'd rather
successful.
It be balanced like it was earlier in the year.
But as long as
winning,
they score
so,
points and move the football.
Bottom line is to win games. It used to be by just 1 point was okay. These days it's by
30. Again, I think they've come to the conclusion this is what we have to do and this is who we are. And, you know, we'll use Maroney when we use Maroney.
Which is to say never.
Let's see. This is from Chris in the Bronx. We always read Chris's emails because he gives us lunch occasionally.
I read one today already.
This game makes me nervous, the Jets he's talking about, although that's probably a holdover from attending last year's loss to New York at Gillette.
I think he read this email.
Yeah, he read this one.
Oh, okay.
That shows
it.
How far behind you are on emails. Try reading some that came in today.
All right, just relax, all right? Jesus.
He only reads ones that say Fred is the greatest.
And he should know it's a joke.
Right, no one's ever seriously thought he was the greatest.
TC in Agawam says the NFL has instituted the Viking rule, which states a team may pass on as many chances as it wishes, but must provide the NFL office with a proof of dumbness. Oh, okay.
We have Fred.
The 49ers, looks like that draft spot isn't going to be quite as good because they just signed Chris Wankie.
Oh,
so
good.
They're moving on up.
Uh-oh. That was funny. I was watching the Heisman Trophy thing the other day.
Yeah, and he was
and,
there.
And they're showing, like, they're panning from left to right, and all of the older guys were to the left. And it was, like, you know, Horning. And
was Bo there?
And all these guys, you know, Herschel, I think, was there. And then it gets to the guys, you know, in the 2000s, and then, you know, late 90s and the 2000s. And it's like, you know, Rashaan Salaam, who looks like, by the way, he ate the University of Colorado.
Werfel, who's bald.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you get to Winky. I'm like, wow, he should be down the left.
Right.
He's like eight to 10 years older than everybody around him. It was really, really, really looking old, Chris Winkie. What's he got to be in like his 30s now,
yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mid-30s?
He was 28 when he was drafted, right? And that was 2001?
Remember 2000? How bad he was that game that we played out there the last game of the year?
Yes.
In 01. That was a bad quarterback performance.
Bertoni says, question, what was every guy in the offensive line drafted by the Patriots?
No.
No. Light was. Mankins was, and Copen was.
Yeah, right.
Neal was
an undrafted free agent.
And he got brought into the league by the Patriots.
Though. Yeah.
Yes, he wasn't drafted.
Yeah. No.
Right.
And Casual was a draft pick. Yeah. Hochstein was
Tampa.
Not. He came from Tampa.
Third round pick, I think, fourth round
so
pick.
So most of them actually were draft picks.
Right. Yates.
Yates
no.
was a free agent, right?
Yep.
He was in Miami before the Patriots.
Peter has an interesting thing. I'm not sure if this is true or not. Paul, maybe you can answer.
Paul? Why can't I?
He said this is a Belichick mistake that Belichick made. He said kicking off
then,
of the
then Andy would be the one to address that.
Kicking off from the Ravens 35, Pats could have kicked the ball out of bounds, and by rule, the ball would have been placed 30 yards from the spot of the kick at the 5-yard line. He's unprepared to coach in this league.
That's not true.
The rule is 30 yards from the kick or where it went out of bounds. So the ball would have had to have gone out of bounds
or a 5-yard penalty and a re-kick.
Right. So. It wouldn't necessarily have been.
Of course, Bill was wrong on it because he said it would
be
at the 17 and a half.
Yeah, Bill didn't know that rule.
He thought,
yeah.
So he is not prepared to coach in this league.
RJ, just wanted to say it was great to see some flash from our defense. I also love seeing the ball in Chad Jackson's hands. I was so excited to get him.
Luckily, he dropped it.
And it's been
it
a store to watch or not watch him since then. Maybe he misjudged it, but one of those kickoffs he caught looked tough. I remember watching him in the best hands competition coming out of college, and that was one of the big things he was known for. Hope to see him some more in the future. Did anyone go into the Steelers locker room after the game? What was the feeling as far as all the talk the week before later chodes?
Tom
was there.
I was there. Basically, just they all had Smith's back pretty much and said, you know, he felt like they were going to win the game and
they didn't lose
just,
because he said anything.
Yeah, a lot of the hopefully we'll be back here for another chance in the playoffs. There really wasn't much trash talking going on. It was more, you know, they got beat. And I know Hines Ward pointed to the time they got beat by Indianapolis a couple years ago in the regular season, then went there and won in the playoffs. So he said, you know, there's still hope. Our season's not over, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
I like Tomlin, who said, if this is the measuring stick, we got a long way to go. That was a good job by him.
I like him. I didn't love his coaching performance in the second half because I think, and understandably, he got out-coached by Belichick being a first-year coach. But I kind of like him as a coach. He's just got to figure out how to get his team to win on the road because he's got the Patriots okay, but he's got some bad losses
right.
on the road.
Makia from Roxbury says, don't know if you read the sports section of the Metro this morning. The article is essentially
Eric.
A talk with Branch and Graham about if they miss being here or if they wish they were here for the run for perfection. Both said they don't, that they are happy where they are at. I think it's bull caca. I take a measly million-plus and perfect season with very strong Super Bowl prospects over what those two currently have right now.
Well, what'd you expect him to say?
Branch might end up in the Super Bowl.
Right. But either way, I mean, you can't say I hate my current team.
Right. No, I saw this. I did see that story in the Herald. It was a Howard Ullman piece, the AP writer. So it probably appeared in a lot of places, but I agree with Andy. You can't trash your own team. And I also think that fans would be disillusioned to an enormous level if they found out just how little that aspect, you know, the whole winning aspect. Not that players don't want to win.
It only happens when you get older.
But players,
yeah.
first and foremost, are interested in themselves.
They have to be.
As they should be.
They have to be.
Their career is so short. They're basically their entire earning for a lot of these guys is in a 5 to 10 year window from the time they get out of college. So they need to make as much as they can. Daniel Graham, it would have been great if he could have made the contract that he got in Denver here, but he couldn't. So he left. And I don't think he has any regrets. I don't think he was lying there at all.
Now, I'm sure there's probably, it would kind of be fun to be winning 56-3.
Well, they like their team to be doing it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sure they miss a little bit of that, but bottom line is, Paul's right. They have to look out for themselves because no one else is.
I just think that would be one of the things I think that fans would be the most disillusioned to find out, is that how many players really are more interested in their contracts than winning.
Early we were talking about how the Patriots got what was involved in the Patriots getting the Raiders pick for this year's draft. Now this is Sam from Denmark. He said the Raiders traded their 2007 seventh-round pick and 2008 third-round pick for the Pats' 2007 third-round pick. If you can remember, the Pats drafted only one player on the first day, Merriweather. There will be two third-round picks in the 08 draft.
And the Raiders are 4 wins?
I don't know.
So that's going to be like a top third of the first
round? Early third rounder.
And the rich get richer. Passing on picks, manipulating everything.
See, those are the picks that I really think the rich get richer. Those are the picks that second, third rounders.
You end up with like a James Sanders.
That's what Jimmy Johnson used to get.
Patriots end up with a really good player there.
Chris from Western Mass also says about the Patriots getting out of the pick this year. The Patriots could always trade for a first-round pick this year and one next year to get rid of the second pick. They did it once before, didn't they?
Yep.
But I don't know how willing a team's going to be able to do that. You could look bad like the Niners.
Okay, and on the phone right now from his mother's basement is John Rook. John, how you doing?
Freddie, what's up, man?
Oh, we're just, talking about everything today.
Has there been a lot of discussion on, the fact that maybe the Jets were the ones doing the spying as well a couple of years ago?
We talked about it earlier, but it seems to be kind of, either, yeah, I knew that, it's not a big deal, or, there's just so much ambiguity to that whole story. They don't even know what day it happened. I think the story's kind of getting lost.
Yeah, I just kind of feel like if there's any truth to this at all, and I think we always know that, the answer is always somewhere in the middle, but if there is any truth to it, then what it tells me then is Eric Mangini is not somebody that I would trust if I were hiring him for my organization.
Well, John, we talked about this yesterday, and Mangini's taking the heat for this. But, when it happened to the Patriots, it happened during the game, and the story was leaked by the head of Jets security to a guy named Dan Leberfeld, who broke it on Jets Confidential online, and then it got picked up everywhere. Mm-hmm. Now, if this happened last year with the Jets, obviously the Patriots didn't leak it to the press. My feeling is that if the Jets hadn't leaked it to the press, this would be kind of a blip. We would have heard about something happening, but Goodell wouldn't have come anywhere near down as hard on the Patriots as he did if it hadn't gotten into the press. So, the question is, okay, who told the director of security to leak it? I'm not sure it was Mangini. It could have been Tannenbaum. And Mangini's just kind of being the good soldier. I don't know. There's a lot that we don't know about this thing.
Well, I think somebody, at least in their organization, if Eric is all locked in with the Jets for the rest of his career, then I think this is fine, and then he can play the good soldier. But if I were in that position, not saying that I ever would be, but if I were and I was playing the part of the good soldier and taking the sword for the organization, I'm not sure that I'd be very confident with that right now.
Yeah, but
quite frankly, I think I'd want to get it all out in the open.
Yeah, but then see you later. What do you do now?
Well, that may very well be. But I would have to have some assurances.
Well, the time to do that, John, is either when we do my renegotiation or when I'm trying to get another job. Then I tell my new employer what really happened here.
Right.
But before then, now you're just as untrustworthy if you call out your own team.
Well, that's
so
what
you
it
can't
appears
win
right
if
now
you're that Eric Mangini.
You're right, and that's what it appears right now, and it looks like Eric is a bigger rat than he ever was.
Yeah.
That's with this story breaking out, that's exactly what it makes it look like. And so I'm thinking, wow, either this guy is really, I don't know, what's the right word for it? I don't know if disingenuous is the right word for it, but I'm saying that, if...
You're right. If he was doing it last year, and then... you're right. It makes him look like
he was doing
like
it last year, and then he ratted the Patriots
right,
out.
That's why I kind of think that maybe either last year wasn't the same as this year, or it wasn't Mangini that ratted the Patriots out.
Yeah, well, certainly I would get, based on my knowledge, and I'm sure based on your knowledge of someone like Eric, It certainly smacks of him being the good soldier and taking the fall for somebody else in that organization.
Well, you know, remember, there's other things that, you know, I mean, there was also the story about, you know, the locks being changed here after Mangini accepted the Jets job.
Right,
and,
right.
And, you know, apparently or allegedly the Patriots were upset at that being leaked out. Also about them going after Deion Branch. You know, allegedly the Patriots were upset about that.
No, that's true. Those
you
are...
know, you know, is this Mangini? Is this Tannenbaum? Who knows? I don't know.
Well, those are good red flags, Fred. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it certainly would indicate that, you know, that this would not necessarily be out of character, in an effort to, you know, not only win and make a big splash early, which they did last year when they went 10-6, but, you know, to create a favorable impression for his new employers.
All right. Well, sounds like you got the subject matter teed up for your show.
A little bit, anyway.
We'll turn things over to you, and as far as PFW goes, we'll see you tomorrow. Take it easy.